Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
It is Wednesday, August 10th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, one person died and five others were injured after a bus en route to Philadelphia overturned on the New Jersey Turnpike Tuesday night, according to officials. The fatal accident took place just before 7 p.m. on the southbound lanes of the Turnpike at the entrance ramp to the Thomas Edison Service Area in Woodbridge Township, Middlesex County. New Jersey State Police Sergeant Lawrence Peel said the double-decker bus collided with a Ford F-150 pickup truck, then overturned. There were no injuries reported to the occupants of the pickup. We are confirming right now one fatality and five serious injuries as a result of the collision. The crash remains under investigation, Peel said. According to Megabus, there were 19 passengers and a driver on the bus that were heading from New York City to Philadelphia. Megabus said one person was killed and five people were seriously injured, including the driver. They were all taken to nearby hospitals. At this time, state police have not released the name of the person who was killed.
Is that like a Bolt bus kind of thing? Is that one of those situations?
Yeah, it's like one of those.
You're right. So they, you pay like 10, 15 bucks, right, and you get the trip down. Do those? I've never been on one. Do they have seatbelts?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, the nice, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure, and they have, Steve, because of interstate travel or something along those lines, like that's required.
Required, all right.
And weirdly or oddly enough, like a school bus that goes over state lines doesn't have to have those, you know, a regular school bus. But
the school buses have them now, right?
Not all of them.
No? There's still some that don't?
Yeah.
Disturbing details continue to emerge surrounding the death of a toddler in New Jersey who was missing for 3 years. The child's mother and her mother's boyfriend made court appearances in the case on Tuesday. 29-year-old Matthew Childs III is charged with first-degree murder, desecration of human remains, and two counts of child endangerment. Monique Durham is charged with two counts of child endangerment as well as theft for allegedly continuing to collect child support even though her 2-year-old daughter was dead. According to documents, Child Protective Services was contacted twice on November 6, 2021 and February 22, 2022 with abuse allegations regarding the deceased girl's surviving twin sister. From then through June 2022, Durham was said to be uncooperative and failed to produce the child during multiple CPS home visits. Then on June 1st, CPS contacted the Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Middlesex County Prosecutor's Office to consider the child missing. On July 26th, after an exhaustive search, CPS contacted police in Edison, New Jersey to perform a welfare check on the twins. Responding officers said Durham obstructed their visit and told them she had given up custody to a parental aunt in North Carolina. An investigation revealed that the name that they were given was a person who didn't exist, and the child's father confirmed his sister did not have custody. He also said he had no involvement in his daughter's lives outside of paying child support. The case was then referred to the Middlesex County Prosecutor's Office, which determined that the missing girl had not been seen by anyone since 2019. According to officials, the investigation revealed that Child struck the girl numerous times at his father's residence in Perth Amboy. A son from another mother told detectives that he saw his father take the girl to the basement where he assaulted her until her crying stopped. The son told investigators he later saw the girl motionless on a bed before Child left the house in the middle of the night and returned without the girl. The next day, the children were told that the girl had been adopted overnight and that they were forbidden to speak of her. Wow. Child and Durham were later found at a motel where police say Durham confessed that Child killed her daughter and disposed of the body. She also admitted to hiding the surviving twin girl when authorities would visit. Residents and businesses in the state of New Jersey are being urged to conserve water as the state deals with a drought caused by days of extreme heat. The New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection announced the statewide drought on Tuesday in a Facebook post. We urge residents and businesses to conserve water as persistent dry and hot conditions continue to stress water supplies throughout the state, the agency wrote on Facebook. The measures can help avoid more serious and restrictive drought conditions. To save water inside the home, the agency recommends taking 5-minute showers, turning the water off while brushing your teeth, running the washing machine and dishwasher only when it's full, and taking care of household leaks.
A lot of people use the powdered water. You guys ever use that?
Yeah, yeah. What do you add to that?
Water.
Oh, okay. Man, we got a drenching downpour yesterday.
Did you?
In my area.
Yeah.
I know they were isolated thunderstorms, but it came down and left huge puddles, and it was pretty nasty.
We got it rained for maybe about 60 seconds. It was like a little drizzle, and then we lost power.
Oh, that's great.
It was raining somewhere else.
Well, the ground is so dried out that everything starts pooling and the runoff is immediate. Yeah. So.
I was at the gym last night. I had gotten there basically when everybody on Earth was there, so I had to park all the way in the farthest end of the parking lot.
That was your workout.
And that was my workout. But then when I was done, it was pouring out. I mean, like, I stood under the little, you know, thingy, the little roof for a little while. And I was like, all right, I guess I'm just going to have to wait this out. And then I waited there for like 5 minutes. I'm like, whatever, it's just water. You know, it's just water. And I just ran through it. But I was soaked.
Dude, there was one time Rochelle and I were at Hershey Park. And I don't know why it was just the both of us. We didn't have kids there.
Right.
And it was all of a sudden the storm came up. And it was one of those where it was really, really heavy. And we're just sitting there, you know, at some food kiosk or something, sitting under an overhang and waiting and waiting and waiting. And we had already been, we're like, we're done for the day.
Yeah.
So we're waiting and we're waiting. We're like, let's get out of here. Just let's screw it. And we went, we made a mad dash for the car. And I mean, we may as well have just jumped in a swimming pool. I mean, it was that drenched. And of course, we get in the car, we start pulling.
And the rain just completely stops, man.
We took that two-hour drive back just absolutely soaking wet in the car.
It happened to me during the time off. I go to Acme. I'm coming out. I mean, it's one of those. It's just like a wall of water. Like, am I going to really wait here? I run to the car, soaking wet. Not only did it stop raining, like the sun immediately came out. It's not like it just, the rain subsided. Now it's a sunny day.
Press, we were talking about Celeste Barber this morning, and I watched the most recent video. But did you see the one that she did with Drew Barrymore?
No.
So Drew Barrymore posted a video of her basically running in the rain, saying, don't miss the chance to, you know, go outside when it's raining. And then Celeste does the same thing. And it's more of like, you know, like what we were just talking about. Like, you just don't want to get wet. Yes. And like, it's not enjoyable. It's actually, it's pretty good.
It's cold.
All right, let's do sports this morning. The Phillies won again, beating the Miami Marlins 4-1 last night at the ballpark. JT Realmuto homered, doubled, and drove in two runs. Zach Wheeler allowed one run in six innings, and the Phillies won their sixth straight game. Gene Segura hit his first home run since coming off the injured list, and the Phillies have won 11 of 12, improving to 40-19 since June 1st. They are now in second place in the National League wildcard standings and are only three games behind the Atlanta Braves. The series continues tonight, and Noah Syndergaard will get the start. The first pitch is scheduled for 7:05. Jason Kelce missed yesterday's Eagles practice with an elbow injury, but the injury is reportedly not significant. He is having a routine clean-out of his elbow that has been giving him problems for a while, and the Eagles expect that he'll be back for the team's season opener on September 11th in Detroit against the Lions. And Serena Williams announced that her tennis career is winding down because she wants to grow her family. Williams shared her thoughts about her future in a first-person essay on Vogue.com and suggested that the U.S. Open could be her final tournament. She wrote, "I've been reluctant to admit to myself or anyone else that I have to move on from playing tennis. My husband and I have hardly talked about it. It's like a taboo topic. I can't even have the conversation with my mom and dad. It's like it's not real until you say it out loud." 40-year-old Williams is currently playing at the Canadian Open and won her match on Monday to advance to the second round. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kath. Wednesday, we got a couple of things that we like to do. One of them is an appearance on Fox Good Day. So we will go on that show around 7:55 this morning. So if you want to see what's going on in our studio, you can do that. Or you can stream us as well. We're on YouTube, the entire program.
Did you ever get to watch the special they did with us?
Yeah, I did.
It's good.
It was fun.
It's really well done.
Yeah, they did like 10 years of Preston and Steve on the Fox Good Day program. Mike and Alex came by here. It was a cool little thing. And it was fun watching some of those old clips. We also have a secret text word chance for you to win a $50 Buffalo Wild Wings. I was thinking of...
want a nice place to eat?
No, not that. I was thinking of Wild Bill. Our program director. Yeah. He's from Buffalo. But, yes, Buffalo Bill, of course, who likes to skin him. We have a $50... Buffalo Wild Wings gift card to give away. So text word secret to 39333 and we'll send them.
Oh, no. I put the dipping sauce in the basket.
Oh my God.
Dipping in sauce.
What the f*** goes in the basket?
Oh my God.
That's the best. That's the absolute best. All right, well, anyhow, this is the song when he's dancing. Crying.
He's dancing because he's so excited about his Buffalo Wild Wings gift card that he just won.
It's good food.
Yeah. So it'll make you dance if you win, but you can't win if you don't text in the word secret to 39333. So make sure that you do that now.
Oh, my God.
Oh, goodness. All right. And besides all that, we have a guest who's going to join us today. Danica McKellar.
Love her.
Yeah, I think we all love her very, very much. And she's got a new book called Double Puppy Trouble. Is it about owning two dogs? Do we know?
No, it's about the Tate and LaBianca murders.
Oh, is that what that's about?
It's about, you know, the fun of doubling things. You ever see, you know, that thing like I give you a penny today and double it tomorrow? It's kind of that sort of thing. Mathematics.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Well, math is her thing,
right, yeah.
Obviously. That
it's
and
her kids.
The Lifetime movies.
Yes.
Who she is.
Hallmark, too.
Right, that's what I meant. I meant Hallmark. But anyhow, we'll talk to her later on this morning in the 9 o'clock hour. She's just lovely. So let's take a break. Come back in a second. The Entertainment Report. We have that for you. Stupid question. Get that set up as well. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
Get social with Preston and Steve. Find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Stupid question, 4-pack tickets for the 12th annual Wildwood Tattoo Beach Bash, which is going on this weekend. And the question that I have for you, Steve, you had mentioned the movie Forrest Gump yesterday.
Yes.
This made me think of this question. So this is just a bit moment in the movie. In Forrest Gump, where was Dallas from? 215-263 WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. All right. In Forrest Gump, where was Dallas from? All right. So if you know, give us a call. We'll go through some birthdays while we're waiting for the answer. Today is Wednesday, August 10th. We'll begin with Rosanna Arquette.
Oh.
Who turned 63 years old today.
That's Rosanna from Toto, right?
Yes. Correct. Okay. It was written about her.
The object of, I think a couple of the band members had
their way with her?
I think so.
I don't know. I know
she,
one for
she
sure.
She admits to being a bit of a music groupie. She was with Peter Gabriel for a while.
I thought it was maybe Steve Lukather that was dating her for a bit. But Nick will look that information up. Maybe we can find out. But yeah, she is the subject of that. The song was written about her.
Yeah.
Rosanna.
Desperately Seeking Susan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's a... Is that that's a song that you love to? It's like a complicated drum beat, right?
It is. Okay. It's Jeff Porcaro did his version of a very classic beat called the Purdy Shuffle, and it's unique. It's you know it as soon as you hear it, and it's hard to pull off. It's a really cool finesse drum beat. You have it handy?
Yeah, I'm looking for it. Yeah. Here it is.
Okay, and it starts right off with it, so it starts off with drums. But you,
hope this
is it ready to go?
I hope
I mean, that's the song.
Yeah.
It begins with the shuffle. But anyway, Rosanna Arquette is 63. She dated, Steve Porcaro, the
keyboardist. There
we go. So that's who it was.
All right.
Steve and Jeff were brothers. So happy birthday, Rosanna Arquette, who is 63. It is also Antonio Banderas' birthday. And I believe, the first thing I ever remember seeing him in was Philadelphia. And he played
that's
boyfriend.
Right. To Tom Hanks, who's in Forrest Gump, which is your question for this morning.
It all comes together.
It's beautiful.
I like him a lot.
Desperado, yeah, he seems cool. He was great as Puss in Boots and Shrek.
What did he just recently played the villain in a movie that's...
Uncharted.
Uncharted, that's it, yes.
What's that one about?
That is based off the video game with Mark Wahlberg and Tom Holland.
Yeah. Yep. So he is 62 today. Ian Anderson,
of the band Jethro Tull turned 75 years old today.
Heavy metal band, right?
I get into right. They won the first heavy metal Grammy, which
listen to this
said,
heavy
really?
Metal.
I met him.
It's too loud.
Through our friend Debbie Calton one time, she hosted a Sonic session in essence with Ian Anderson. He could not have been a nicer guy, and she asked him a question about like the Jethro Tull's music being used in commercials at one point. And he, like, thought about it, and then, you know, the conversation veered away. And then, like, midway through another question, about 15 minutes later, whatever, he just goes, Hyundai!
Okay.
Because Hyundai. And he was, like, trying to think of the car commercial's name, or the car company's name, and he couldn't think of Hyundai when he first, and then, like, 15 minutes later. So every time I think of Ian Anderson, I think, Hyundai!
It's interesting you said he couldn't have been a nicer guy because he has a reputation of being difficult.
Maybe he came around.
Yeah.
Maybe he got over that reputation because Debbie is fantastic and it was a really nice, easy conversation. And he was nice to everybody that was in the room then. So
the great Jethro Tull, Ian Anderson, is 75 today. Riddick Bowe, former heavyweight champion, turns 55 years old today. Held the title for a little bit. Devin Aoki. You know her from a bunch of different things. And in Sin City, she plays Miho.
Man, she's good.
She is badass.
Miho,
She is a strikingly beautiful woman.
Yeah. I love Sin City. I love that movie.
I do, too, man.
It's great.
Frank Miller?
Frank Miller, yes. He actually gets a co-directing credit. It was Robert Rodriguez that directed it technically. Mm-hmm. But basically, Robert Rodriguez used the graphic novel as storyboard. So it is a very unique-looking film.
Yep. She was also in Too Fast, Too Furious. I think, was she in the movie Debs, too?
I think she was.
She might have been.
And Two Debs, Two Debbies.
Two Debs, Two Debbies. She is 40 years old today. Justin Theroux celebrates his birthday today. He's a fine specimen of a man. He is 51 years old. And in fact, I was reading the Devin Aoki's credits. I was
he plays Miho. Sin City.
I did not know that. No, actually, he writes a lot of stuff. So he co-wrote Tropic Thunder and wrote the screenplay for Iron Man 2.
Well.
And obviously he's an actor of The Leftovers and Zoolander, Mulholland Drive.
Simple Jack is his, right? That's from Tropic Thunder.
Yeah.
That's his creation. He's also in Romy and Michelle's high school reunion. Okay. He is the cowboy. That has that thing going on with Janine Garofalo.
I haven't seen that in so long. They're talking about making a sequel to that.
Yes. I love that movie.
Rumors of that.
Yeah. He was in, is it Mosquito Coast? Okay, so he's in that. And it's really, really good.
He plays the lead in that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you told me that was really good.
Yeah.
Have they released the second season of that yet?
Well, they're going to.
Okay.
And it is, I don't remember which platform it's on. I feel like it was, like Amazon, maybe.
He's a good looking dude, but he's got, his comedic chops are absolutely top notch.
Apple TV Plus.
He does a lot of script punching up.
Still married to Jennifer Aniston, right?
No.
Not married to Jennifer Aniston.
Right. He was.
But he was in Sin City.
Was married to Jennifer Aniston.
They met on the set of Sin City.
So he is 51 today. Last birthday is Kylie Jenner's birthday.
There we go.
Kylie, celebrating in the Jennersphere today, is 25 years.
Kylie, this is your daddy talking to you from outer space. I can't return to Earth today because I'm currently working on a device that will preserve a wormhole. So that we can travel vast distances.
Oh,
it's... But I want to let you know that I love you very much.
Almost like mass transit for...
Exactly.
Yeah.
You've got it. You should join us up here, Preston. You know a lot about that.
Someday I want to be there. The music alone makes me feel like it's a bit of a paradise in the Jennifer.
It is. It's wonderful.
She is 25 years old today. Stop it. Is she the one that did the lip kit?
Yeah. The whole foundation of her vast financial empire was based on a lie.
She had
cosmetic surgery to get those plumped up lips.
I saw the, when I was at the airport at during our recent vacation and saw the vending machine.
There's Kylie a Kylie lip kit vending machine.
Oh, seriously?
Vending machine. Yes, of just her products.
I mean, I have the lip stuff and it's not bad.
Yeah. So she is 25 years old today.
Well, incredible wealth, and she looks nothing like her own pictures.
Oh, and it's Craig Ligon's birthday.
Yay!
We we know this because he texted us and said to wish him a happy birthday. but he's 56 years old today. Craig Ligon's with the Comic Book Gurus podcast.
And I'm working with them. We're actually we're recording another episode later on today.
Excellent. Yep. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. And we want to know, in Forrest Gump, where was Dallas from? 215-263-WMMR. We'll go to Eric. Hey, Eric, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Sorry to bother you work.
No, please. Where is Dallas from in Forrest Gump, sir?
Dallas is, of course, from Phoenix, Arizona.
Phoenix, yes. That is correct. Hang on just a second. We'll get to your information. And Cleveland was from Detroit.
I don't remember where Texas
came
from.
Texas, I don't know where he come from. So hang on, bud. We're going to set you up. You got yourself a 4-pack of tickets for the 12th annual Wildwood Tattoo Beach Bash Friday through Sunday. At the Wildwoods Convention Center, 400 of the world's best tattoo artists are coming to Wildwood to tattoo you. And you can visit villainarts.com for the tickets.
You said you read Forrest Gump, and it was not as good as
it's
the movie.
It's kind of weak.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he does a lot of different things. Like, he goes to the moon.
They didn't do that in the movie.
He's a chess champion, and he saves... He was the creature from the Black Lagoon. He was a wrestler. There's all kinds of other things that happened, but it wasn't written very well. It's a great movie, though. All right, so we're going to go with this story to begin with. Richard Glass, who is the owner of Glass Hair Design in Venice, California, has told the Los Angeles Times on Monday that Anne Heche visited his salon shortly before she crashed her car into a home, and Glass said that she, quote, wasn't speaking in cursive during her visit, meaning she didn't seem intoxicated at the time. I guess that's his phrase for that. The salon owner described her as very pleasant and shared that she expressed interest in a blue wig. When he let her know that particular wig wasn't available, she said she'd take the red one.
How much before the accident was this, did you say?
Yeah, I don't know what time. Because the accident was fairly early in the day, right?
Yeah.
But it was the same day.
Huh. Because she was apparently hammered when the accident occurred, but he says she was not.
Well, they haven't. They're assuming she may have been. They haven't released any results yet.
With the vodka bottle and all that stuff, I guess
I don't know.
Yeah.
But listen, you can get hammered in 30 seconds if you want to. Glass didn't register who Heche was until he went to ring her up. After recognizing her, the pair took a number of selfies together, and he posted one on Instagram on Friday, the day that the accident took place.
So. Is she still in a coma? I haven't heard anything new.
I haven't heard anything since yesterday about her condition, so we'll have to wait and see. Yesterday, The Hollywood Reporter published an expose on the accusations against Fred Savage, the set of the Wonder Years reboot. A group of unnamed women came forward to detail the inappropriate conduct allegations against him, which include verbal harassment, alleged assault, and, quote, manipulative and erratic behavior. Several crew members recalled a strangeness surrounding Savage's relationship with a much younger woman who worked on the crew. This woman declined to be interviewed by the Hollywood Reporter. But the others say that she moved into Savage's Atlanta home during filming. They also say that he bought her gifts, discussed the future with her, and was extremely controlling of her daily behaviors. Another woman in her early 30s said Savage approached her with, quote, just dead eyes at a bar where the crew was partying one night and pushed her against the bathroom wall despite her objections. She said he put his mouth on mine very forcefully. He went for the top of my pants and I brushed him away. Then he put his mouth on mine again, grabbed my hand and pulled it onto his groin area. I was pulling back. He stopped very angrily. I shoulder checked him so I could get out, she said. I was honestly scared of him for the first time, she said. She said that he later apologized to her for being, quote, a huge a-hole. He had called her and left a message.
Mm-hmm.
Savage responded to these allegations in a statement that read, since I was 6 years old, I've worked on hundreds of sets with thousands of people and have always strived to contribute to an inclusive, safe and supportive work environment. It is devastating to learn that there are coworkers who feel that I have fallen short of these goals. He said, while there are some incidents being reported that absolutely did not and could not have happened, any one person who feels hurt or offended by my actions is one person too many. I will work to address any change and work to address and change any behavior that has negatively affected anyone.
It's kind of wild.
Nothing in this world is more important to me than being a supportive coworker, friend, husband, father, and person.
So he's no longer on associated with the Growing Pains. This is the new series, which he was one of the producers of and had directed a number of episodes, right? And that's the current status. Wonder Years. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
And so, Casey, and I love that show. I think it's fantastic. The reboot has been really well done. But this is kind of wild. So, you know, we worked with him, Preston. He directed us.
He did.
And he was always very kind during those 7 minutes.
Yeah, that we were together on set of It's Always Sunny in Philly. So on Monday, that 70 Show actor Ashton Kutcher posted to Twitter after a sneak peek clip was released of his appearance on National Geographic's Running Wild with Bear Grylls, The Challenge. And we talked about this yesterday. He shared that he previously suffered from vasculitis, a rare autoimmune disorder that left him unable to see, hear, and walk for a time.
Imagine how much you would freak out if that happened.
But he wrote, before there are a bunch of rumors, chatter, whatever out there, yes, I had a rare vasculitis episode 3 years ago. And then he let fans know that he is okay now. He said, I had some impairments here, vision, balance issues right after. I fully recovered, all good. And then he wrote, moving on, see you at the 2022 New York Marathon with Thorne. I don't know who Thorne is.
Maybe he meant Thor?
Maybe Thorne will be there. I'm not really sure. Okay. But he just wanted to clear it up and tell everybody he's fine now. This was a few years ago.
Do you know that he is a Mensa level intellect?
No.
Yeah, he is. He has been tested, and
he's a member.
I think he is a member, Nick. If you wouldn't mind doing a quick check, but I think he is. He's quite bright.
We ever talked to him over the years?
I want to say yes.
I want to say we probably have, right?
You know what he did? He was very much at the forefront of a big campaign. I know he's still involved with it to stop sex trafficking.
Ah, okay.
Well, and so to that end, Steve, I'm still looking up the Mensa thing, but Thorne, which you referenced a minute ago, Preston, is a charity endeavor. They build digital tools and programs to defend children from sexual abuse.
All right, there you go.
And so he's been training with Thorne and Peloton to run in the marathon, and he's doing it for this charity.
Okay, wow. So it is. We have definitely confirmed it is not Thor.
Okay.
Okay.
Probably not.
Nick will look up the Mensa thing. I'm going to move on while he's doing that. Taika Waititi is once again a married man after having reportedly wed his girlfriend of over just 1 year, British singer and songwriter Rita Ora.
It's very sexy.
In an intimate London ceremony.
Good score for him.
The couple were first photographed together in May of 2021. They became engaged just 2 months ago. The UK tabloid The Sun was the first to break the news of the apparent nuptials, citing a source who claimed that it was a really intimate ceremony and super special for everyone there, in which close family and friends could see how madly in love they were.
They're madly in love.
However, Waititi and Ora are eventually planning a big party to celebrate. The source added, despite living in the spotlight, Rita is determined to keep the relationship as private as possible.
And love you.
And didn't want to make a big song and dance about the wedding. A big showbiz-style bash is planned to celebrate, but don't expect to see it being flogged to the highest bidding magazine.
So a few years ago, there was this video, a viral video, that was of her doing the dance scene from Mean Girls. Do you remember that, where they're singing the Christmas song and accidentally kicks the boombox?
Okay.
And she did that, and it got a lot of traction because she looks fantastic.
Okay. In a recent interview with the Times of London Sunday Magazine, Game of Thrones actor Sean Bean criticized intimacy coordinators on set, saying they, quote, spoil the spontaneity of filming intimate scenes.
Are they boner killers?
Maybe that's what he's thinking. But following this, many actresses spoke out against his comments and highlighted why intimacy coordinators are actually important. West Side Story actress Rachel Zegler posted on Twitter Monday saying, intimacy coordinators establish an environment of safety for actors. I was extremely grateful for the one that we had on West Side Story. They showed grace to a newcomer like myself and educated those around me who've had years of experience. Spontaneity and intimacy scenes can be unsafe.
I think it's great that they have this. You remember how uncomfortable it was with our first sex scenes?
Yes.
It was horrible.
We didn't have an intimacy coordinator.
It was so awkward.
And I thought that one little probe that I did was appropriate.
Yeah, and it was
made you uncomfortable.
Trust me.
I apologize.
Bill still hasn't forgotten.
The Good Place star, Jamila Jamil, wrote, it should only be technical. It's like a stunt. Our job as actors is to make it not look technical. Nobody wants an impromptu grope. And in the interview, Bean also referenced the scene that he filmed in Snowpiercer with Lena Hall. When the interviewer suggested that intimacy coordinators were a response to the Me Too movement, he responded, I suppose it depends on the actress. This one, meaning Hall, had a musical cabaret background, so she was up for anything. But she addressed the comments in a lengthy Twitter thread. She said, just because I'm in theater, not cabaret, but I do perform them every once in a while.
She's loose. She's in theater. She said,
does not mean that I'm up for anything.
Yeah, right? Yeah. She's freaky. She's in theater.
Total slut.
I was about to do butt stuff.
However, she also shared that she had a good experience with Bean. She said, Sean is an awesome actor. It made me feel not only comfortable, but also I had a true acting partner in those bizarre scenes. It was us against the world, and we were going to tell that story.
If you had to, if it was... There was some, for some bizarre reason or chain of events, led you to be performing a sex scene in front of the camera. Could you do it?
I could not.
Yeah.
It'd be very, very, very difficult.
I don't even like to see myself in the mirror when I'm after getting out of the shower.
Yeah. What's that, Casey?
No, I totally could.
You could do it?
Yeah, we should try it out.
Okay.
You want to do that?
Yeah. It's acting, honey. I'm getting paid for this.
I don't love Kathy.
For a role.
Oh, dear God. I couldn't even pretend.
Yes, you could. Yes, Come here.
I'm going to make you feel so good.
She continued saying, I do feel the intimacy coordinators are a welcome addition to the set and think that they could help with the trauma experience in other scenes. Sometimes you need them, sometimes you don't, but every single person and in every scene and experience is different.
What about in civilian life? Would it help? Just to
have go along?
This is Jeff. He's going to be guiding us through our intercourse today.
He's going to be guiding. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Welcome. Hey, Jeff, nice to meet you.
Rochelle, how do you feel? Would you like some water?
Yeah. We should have those professional intimacy coordinators for early, when you're in the beginning of a relationship. You may not know what to do.
You don't like his finger there, and I understand.
They do have those. Those are called sex
surrogates. Yeah. Yes, and they will actually participate, or at least...
No, a surrogate is somebody who will do it with you.
Yeah.
Or well, a prostitute, essentially. Yeah.
But I remember watching, like, Real Sex. They used to have it was on HBO. It was a series they would have on, and they did, I think it was that show, and I was younger, right?
So there are clinical sex surrogates who, right?
Yeah. And they had done a little segment on sex surrogacy, and I was like... This is awesome. Like, because I was probably like 14 or 15 years old, and there was a guy who was just uncomfortable and didn't know what to do and how to do this
with his hands.
Yeah. And so the surrogate was essentially doing what you were doing, but the only problem is there was not another female there where they were doing instruction. But for this guy who had no idea, like,
it helped.
It helped him.
I got you. Yeah.
According to In Touch Weekly, Travis Barker and Kourtney Kardashian were spotted flying commercial recently with their daughter Penelope Disick.
Are they okay?
And her niece Northwest. Now, this comes after her sister Kylie was called a climate criminal for taking a 17-minute flight on a private jet.
Did they buy every single seat on the plane?
The couple flew from Los Angeles to Spokane, Washington.
Wait, this was after?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, right?
They were like, okay, so listen.
Yeah.
You're going to have to fly coach.
No! What's happening is that...
If you want to fix your image, you have to fly coach. Uh-huh.
There are a couple of people now who are using tracking apps and tracking capabilities to follow these people who are taking these absurdly short flights in their private jets. And they're being called out for it, and so they don't like being exposed.
This would be part of my services when I get my business up and running to help
Image consultant.
My image consultant. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, so I'm really sorry, but we're going to have to put you back in row 33 just for this one flight. quick flight. We'll go from Philadelphia to Boston real quick, but you'll be in row 33.
And you'll gain back your cred.
Yeah.
Well, honestly, if they flew commercial, you could fly first class if you're going to do that. But fly commercial, that's how you end a lot of this. But they don't want it. They're using their jets like Uber rides.
Yeah, these, I'm sure they were in first class, but this was a commercial flight. So,
that's crazy, man.
That makes the news.
You don't want to do that. They're filthy back
there. Oh, my God. What was his name? Keith Copeland? Kenneth Copeland.
That's right.
Yeah.
Filthy people. It's like riding in a tube with the devil.
That footage.
Oh, my God.
I was watching some of that footage of the Daily Rush video over the vacation.
Oh, man.
That guy looks like the devil.
He does.
He looks evil.
Steve, somebody pointed out he is in the Stephen King's Cat's Eye movie. He is the little troll.
Yeah.
That comes out of the wall and tries to steal the girl's breath.
I'm going to steal that girl's breath.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to fly my own jet for a 9-minute flight.
Oh, my God. Just horrible person. All right, let's move on. Another horrible person, Joe Exotic, shared a post to Instagram on Monday that featured a shirtless photo.
Oh, my God.
Of 90 Day Fiancé star Jesse Meester. And he said, meet my amazing dear friend Jesse Meester, actor, model, and so much more. He said, you will hear him around on my stuff more and more as he's going to help me get my voice to the White House for President Biden to sign my pardon before November of this year.
Still trying to work it.
Show him some love. Love you, Jesse, he wrote.
So what is his medical status, Joe Exotic? I know he has prostate cancer.
Yeah, I don't know what the current diagnosis, or not diagnosis, but his state is right. As far as his recovery goes.
And how does he get access to... What's his level of incarceration? He seems to be tweeting out a lot and doing a lot of...
Yeah. I don't know if he's doing these secondhand or what.
Yeah.
You know, speaking out to somebody and they're writing on his behalf. I'm not sure how that works. Let's see. Entertainment Tonight, Canada reports that Law and Order Special Victims Unit is planning to air an episode that tackles Johnny Depp's defamation trial against Amber Heard.
Johnny Derp.
Photos taken while filming an upcoming episode in New York City show Detective Olivia Benson, Mariska Hargitay, exiting a courthouse with a celebrity played by Julia Goldani Tellez. And a crowd surrounds him as they walk out holding signs that show support for Austin and Kelsey, mirroring the scenes outside of the courthouse during the Depp Heard.
They always say it's taken from the pages of, right?
Yeah. So they're gonna kind of parody that. Deadline reports that SNL star Kenan Thompson has been chosen to host this year's Emmy Awards on September 12th.
That's a safe choice.
Yeah. Thompson said, being a part of this incredible evening where we honor the best of the television community is ridiculously exciting. And to do it on NBC, my longtime network family, makes it even more special. Like all TV fans, can't wait to see the stars from my favorite shows, what he said.
So when you read something like that, I have every confidence that the actual celebrity did not write that. That was released by somebody, you know, more often than not.
They probably said, here, take a look at this.
Yeah.
And does that look okay to you?
Right.
So, yeah.
And he's been on SNL since 2003. Longest serving SNL member of all time.
And he has an actual another sitcom that he's doing at the same time.
Yeah, he's really talented.
Wow, coming up on 20 years.
Yeah, that's remarkable.
Good for him. So our buddy Kevin Smith announced this past Friday that he bought the New Jersey movie theater where he spent, quote, the many frivolous Friday nights of my Jersey teenage youth, and he shared his plans for the venue. In an Instagram post, the director wrote, as a cinema-centric kid, I used to dream about living in a movie theater one day. The older I got, the more I realized that childhood dreams don't really come true, so I'll have to settle for living above the Atlantic movie house. The movie theater that he bought with a few friends. He said, my little baby... Smod Castle is growing up to become the Smod Castle Cinemas, the place to see movies, live shows, comedy, music, and more. So he's going to turn it into a performance.
I completely love this idea. Yeah. I had my theaters growing up that were my go-to, where I had some of the greatest movie memories of my life. Did you? You had a theater that was your... In fact, we played the intermission.
Oh, yeah, Wehrenberg Theater. Absolutely.
Right.
So we had, I follow Delco Roots on Twitter, and they put up old pictures all the time, and they put up a picture. It was like, hey, do you know what this is? And it was the old McDade Mall movie theater.
Oh.
It's where I smoked my first cigarette.
There you go.
And watched Rambo 2.
There was a place in, it was the Larkfield Theater, Long Island, East Northport, and it was, Preston, it was a grindhouse. A real filthy, but it had a balcony. And if you sat, it was a smaller theater, but it had a balcony. If you sat center, excuse me, balcony. It was like the perfect place. And they somehow they would get, like, they got The Exorcist first run.
Yeah.
And they got these movies. It's like, I had some of the greatest movie experiences of my life in that crappy grindhouse theater.
This is the Weinberg Theater shingle. Yeah. Go ahead, Nick. What were you going to say?
Steve, there's one in Wayne called the Anthony Wayne Theater.
Right.
And it's been closed since the pandemic. I wish Kevin Smith or somebody like Kevin Smith would come in and buy that, because it's like, have you been to the one in Bryn Mawr?
No, I have not.
It's really well done. It's like kind of an art house theater.
I love them.
They're so well, and like, yeah, you can get a nice cup of coffee and then they have meals and whatever, but like, I don't know why they haven't done that in Wayne yet. You'd think there'd be an audience for it.
All of my movie theaters that I went to growing up are gone. Like the one, the McDade Mall, I think that's a Marshall's now.
Granite Run's gone, right?
Granite Run, they just tore that down, but that wasn't one from my childhood. That was like one of the newer ones, but like the one in Clifton, it's a Modell Sporting Goods now. The one in Lawrence Park is now a Barnes and Noble. The one in Springfield where I saw E.T., it's not even there anymore. And now they have these multiplexes.
So, well, he's living a dream. I envy him, his ability to do this.
Berg Theaters. Where in Berg Theaters?
Listen, one of my favorite memories. At a Weinberg Theater, at the Weinberg Theaters was, so it had the seating instead of, you know how when you walk down steps in the aisles, okay?
Right.
This didn't add that. It had like a ramp all the way down, which means that it was a continuous floor from back to front, okay? And I remember one time I was in a movie, and it was a quiet part of a movie, and somebody sitting in the near the back row dropped like a box of lemon heads or something like that.
No!
And they rolled all the way from the back of the theater. And you just heard all this noise all the way down. I love that.
But Nick, we had Seamus' birthday party at that Wayne Theater.
Yeah,
I remember that. Did the
was that Toy Story 3?
Yeah.
Yeah. I went
to that.
Yep.
That's a great one.
We were talking about doing an event where we rented a theater because it's cheap to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Souderton has a cute little theater as well.
Yes.
I love that place.
Yeah.
These are really special places.
Yeah.
So good for Kevin Smith
on
purchasing the one that he grew up with. All right, we're ready for clips, gang. So, legendary actress Diane Keaton reflects on 50 years since filming The Godfather and the similarity between starting her career and ending it with her new comedy, Mac and Rita. Here we go.
At that point, when you did those, it was very serious. No, that was like, whoa. Those movies were intense, yeah. Started out like an idiot, and I'm ending up like that. I'm happy. You know what I mean?
Could you shut up?
She's going to retire?
That I had not heard.
But
she is represented in that movie, The Offer, about the making of The Godfather, and she's fantastic. Unbelievable.
So Mac and Rita is in theaters on Friday, by the way. Here's the next clip. Hardworking dad, out to provide for his daughter, uses a boring pool cleaning job as a front for his real gig, which is hunting and killing vampires in Day Shift. And here, Dave Franco and Jamie Foxx talk about the most surreal moments that they experienced while on the set with a contortionist. Here we go.
Watching them get ready to do these stunts, and the one contortionist that I had, we had to be very careful though in how we weren't allowed to jerk or do anything quick, because she, you know, she sort of like disengages her body, mm-hmm. so it could be very vulnerable. So we had to be, you know, careful in that sense.
I don't think I want to see it.
Day Shift premieres on Netflix on Friday.
Is that a straight up horror movie?
Seems like it might be, but I mean, with Jamie Foxx, maybe there's a little bit of comedy in it, you know, something like that, because he usually
and Dave
pulls
Franco,
up.
Yeah.
Did you ever see the movie Mama?
I did.
Right. So they used like a physical actor
to play Mama
in some scenes, and had that contortionist sort of capability that gives you these really weird movements that are just scary as hell.
That must be what they're doing here.
Yeah.
Well, all right. That's the entertainment report. We are going to take a break. Don't forget Danica McKellar is going to be joining us later on this morning. She's got a new book out, so we'll talk to her. We have a secret text word, by the way, and it is a $50 Buffalo Wild Wings gift card. So text word secret 39333. You might win before the program's up. We'll be back in a moment.
Hey, Philly, come socialize with us.
Follow 933WMMR on Twitter and Instagram, or be our friend on Facebook. See photos, videos, and random behind-the-scenes stuff. Some stuff you don't want to see. Plus, it's completely safe for work. If you work here, that is.
Coming up on the program later on this morning, the lovely Danica McKellar. She's got a book called Double Puppy Trouble that is out.
Yes.
We'll talk to her later on this morning. I want to talk about something. And Steve, you have offhandedly gave me another character name.
Yeah. The
sex surrogate. Now, we need a theme for these new characters. And we never plan these things.
No. That would be work.
They just happen.
Yeah.
So you know what I like? The idea of a theme for this?
What?
Is, because I just love the way it starts, would be Kiss from Prince.
Oh.
It starts off with him going, he goes, and then goes into the song.
Do we have that? Oh, we've got to have that.
Yeah, it doesn't look like we do.
Was that always the big sell of this system, is that we'd have access to all of the different stations and their music?
That never happened.
It never happened.
No. Oh, come on now.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. This is
You're the sex circuit.
Thank you, Casey.
You're welcome.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Start it over, Casey, one more time. We got to throw that guy in.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The sex surrogate is born.
All right. Kathy, what kind of orgasms do you have?
Oh, dear God.
Kathy, what kind of orgasms do you have? Can I ask that kind of question?
That's something Bill would say in a meeting. Uh-huh.
Do you have screamers or what do you have?
Oh, my God.
Dear God. Little ripple?
Screamers.
Oh, my God. We are going to get in trouble.
The reason
I'm going to get in trouble. Yeah, don't worry.
Yeah, you will.
Why did you say bring that up? You laughed. I heard you laugh.
You laughed so hard. A study has suggested that women typically experience one of three types.
Oh.
And they're doing studies on this, and they have given these types names. And these are quite interesting names that they have given to these types of female orgasms.
I actually found them pretty evocative.
Yeah. So researchers found that when their female volunteers climaxed, the pelvic floor muscles predominantly showed one of three patterns, okay? So three patterns.
See what you align. What are you aligned with here, Kathy?
Either a wave, an avalanche, or a volcano.
Oh, jeez. Come on.
I'm going to go with the volcano.
If I want to have one. Isn't that the creme de la creme?
I'm thinking a volcano sounds like the most fun.
I think that guys are routinely volcanoes, right?
Yeah.
Because of the lava? Yeah.
I would think so.
Puff, smoke, puff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because of the lava.
Right. Some oozing lava, some the sometimes.
I no longer have lava to ooze.
Yeah. There's usually a pyroclastic flow afterwards or some type.
And some sort of resort town nearby gets destroyed. Yeah.
Don't forget, a little pre-lava.
Exactly.
A
little pre-lava. The warning signs, the grunts, the tremors. And the volcano makes a face.
Oh, wow.
The tree.
Definitely getting
it. And you know what? When sometimes, like, you know, things are born from volcano eruptions.
Absolutely.
By the way.
Okay.
All right, here we go. You said something, Steve. You said they make a face. Have you ever, when you're enjoying yourself, and have you ever stopped at that moment at the end and realized what you're doing with your face?
Yeah. I actually caught it.
It's not pretty.
I caught it in the mirror.
Oh, my.
With my wife now, you know, and it haunts me to this day.
Right?
I would never bang what I look like
in
that mirror.
No way. It's just like...
It's inhuman.
Can you...
What's that?
Steve just showed us.
It's like this.
I zipped up a nut.
Mine's like gritted teeth, like that.
Yeah,
right, I know, it's terrible.
It's
right,
not
Kathy?
Good.
It's horrible.
What's yours like?
I don't want to know.
What does your face look like when you have orgasm?
So I had to do all the time in college. I had this. People would be like, "Yo, dude, do jazz face," and it's not jazz face.
Like
fizz face, Because I did this thing, and it would be like.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You look like your driver's license picture.
Yes.
That's a good one.
Yeah. He looks like his driver's license.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. Honestly,
all right.
Give your wife an extra hug today forever.
Putting up with that, yeah.
Just to put a button in the face thing here, Preston, have you ever seen the comparisons between somebody you can't tell if they're in pain or if they're...
Yeah, they do side-by-side photos.
Or sneezing.
Well, I saw in between pain and, and extreme pleasure, and they were, you could not tell the difference between the two.
All right, so anyhow, you have a wave, volcano, or an avalanche.
I think that sort of makes sense to me.
The lead researcher, James Faust, professor of neuroscience at Charles University in Prague, Czech Republic, said the names refer to the way the pelvic floor movements appeared during the buildup to orgasm and the release of tension. At the moment. So the wave looks like undulations or successive contractions of tension and release. The avalanche...
I have a strange...
Stop it.
No. This one just got me, Preston.
Free lava is going to be a password idea for signing into work.
Right. Free lava.
All right, so the avalanche rides on a higher pelvic floor tension with contractions that lower the tension downward during orgasm. The volcano rides on a lower pelvic floor tension, but then explodes into tension and release during the O. So.
Okay, so wait, does it say that women will only experience one of those, or can they reach all three of them?
No, it's you're like a one. You favor one.
You're either.
So the question would have to be when you're whether you're having there are two types of orgasms a female can have, right? Man in the boat.
Or a spelunker.
A spelunker.
The submarine.
And so those would be two different types applied to these. Am I talking my ass, which is another type of sex.
Well, no, there are two ways to achieve that. Yes.
Right. Yeah. So I wonder if having not ever had those kind of orgasms because of the different plumbing, I don't know if each can have
a different sensation or a different
and cause one of the three. Is that what
pattern
you mean?
Like
exactly.
This. Right. So the data.
Yeah, dude, how does it work?
I'm not going.
So let me tell you how they did this first, okay? And then I'll tell you the tendencies for ladies and the different types. So for the study, 54 women used a Bluetooth connected vibrator called the Lioness, which detects the force of pelvic floor contractions in two sensors on its sides and sends the data to an internet server. The women who performed the tasks at home were instructed to do this to themselves and then turn the device off 2 minutes after they were finished.
Now, were they doing this with their jerkmate, Preston?
I've never heard of jerkmates before, so never? I don't really know.
Yo, ever heard of jerkmate?
This was repeated over several days. The data was then analyzed. Now, it showed that nearly 50% of women had the wave, 17% had avalanches, and only 11% had the volcanoes.
So you're saying, and so then I would have to stand corrected now, women get one type of orgasm.
It seems that way.
Right, with two different ways to get that orgasm.
That I don't know for sure, but that we would assume.
You know what's funny is because when a guy achieves that...
His eruption. His Krakatoa.
There is a clear...
liquid.
Yeah. Well, it's more milky, but anyway. But he announces it. Like, not all the time, but, like, there's usually an announcement, but, like...
You're talking about in movies.
Yeah. But the girl doesn't, right?
Dad,
but
can I talk to you for a minute?
But the guy, when he's
That's
about
what I
to,
just did.
Well, one guy in particular, when he's about to, he says...
Santa's gotta go.
Dude. Oh, you're building to that. I got
Santa's gonna go.
Yeah.
Let him go.
Santa's gotta go.
In that very tone, by the way.
Yeah.
And wait. And over a phone.
But right before he says it,
I need you to stop talking and listen to me. Santa's got to go.
Oh my God.
And it's over.
Just beforehand.
All right, I'm done. I'll see you later.
I need you to stop talking and listen to me.
Santa's got to go.
All right, it's over.
He's coming to town.
See you later.
Professor,
I wonder if he's here.
Professor Faust's team, whose findings were published. You know, sometimes we don't have a Wednesday meeting. I think we're having one today.
Oh, yeah.
Professor Faust's team, whose findings were published in the Journal of Sexual Medicine, have now turned their attentions to the way that these styles are experienced by women. Referring to Masters and William Masters and Virginia Johnson, the researchers who pioneered the study of human sexual response in the 1950s, he said, "We're not yet finished doing data collection, but one thing that has become apparent is that Masters and Johnson's observations that women had a predominant sexual response style is being borne out with the orgasm responses that we are seeing with the Lioness, which is that device that they're using."
Mm-hmm. Santa's
got to
go.
Get off. In a way, he said this makes sense. These are adult women who have experienced these many times before, and like riding a bike or swimming, there are motor patterns that have become crystallized through experience to be associated with it. So get one type because you're used to it that way.
And you know, though, and I was reading a book, I forget who the author was, but he was describing, you know, we can never know what a woman feels as right. men. Right. We know that it's presumably enjoyable, and nor can they go back to the way we experience it. So they're both pleasant experiences, we assume. I know I enjoy our end of the bargain, mm-hmm. but the actual tactile experience is something that we cannot fully understand.
Yes. Yes, this is true. You can't wrap your mind around
what would it be like? Because
that sensation is like.
With me, not to get, there is a volcanic thing, and it's also a water pump sort of.
But you have a volcano with no lava, right?
My lava's dried up. I'm a caldera.
Well, a big part of that sensation, and I've bizarrely analyzed this on my own a little bit, is not only what you're feeling in your pelvic region, but there's a dopamine drop.
Yes, absolutely.
That happens. And so that's why you get that euphoric sensation. That's why it feels so damn good when you're finished.
It's because nature makes it that way.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And it's to further our continuing the species. I mean, it feels good. So we will continue to reproduce.
And then sleep.
Santa's got to go.
Sleepy afterwards for men, but not for women, which what is also evolutionary.
Really?
Yeah, most women evolutionarily don't feel sleepy immediately afterwards.
But
men do. Yeah.
What about the almost? Do you guys experience the hunger?
I usually eat during
experience the hunger. He's actually eating a pepperoni.
Yeah. George Costanza.
And get some salted meats.
I like meat.
No, I don't find myself hungry afterwards. But yeah. I mean,
a little peckish afterwards.
I can always eat.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
So why not?
you keep a Lunchable on the
just in case.
I have a question out of.
Oh, look! You make your own little pizza.
Steve, you were talking about different types for different genders, right?
Yeah.
And this is a question out of ignorance. I don't know if you were a trans person, how that changes when you go from one gender to another.
If you fully medically
transition? Does that aspect of your life, of your sex life specifically, change?
Well, they move around nerves and
right.
stuff when they have the
yeah.
surgery.
When they did my prostatectomy, they preserved the nerves so
right.
that you... It's an interesting experience because it's like it's everything it was before, but slightly different.
Okay.
And
you notice that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No fuss, no muss. I'll tell
right.
you that. You know,
right,
running.
Right.
For, yeah.
It would be interesting if you were able, because Steve, you're talking about the difference between men and women and these sensations. It would be interesting to be able to experience that, to experience the other gender
yeah.
and what that is really like. I mean, Kathy, if you had a Johnson, would you, wouldn't it?
Right?
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah,
it'd
be great.
Be awesome.
Yeah.
I do helicopters all day long. Just for fun.
No, I'll tell you what.
It'd be one of my activities.
Having nothing to do with sex, I would like to pee outside.
Okay.
And it'd be easy.
Make it easier.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's one thing you guys have to deal with. And
there's
I've
no
seen
cleanup.
The tucking and bunching. If you're out in the woods or whatever, it's a little bit more involved.
Just wear a hippie skirt.
A squirt.
Hippie skirt.
Hippie skirt.
That's a different type of girl that we haven't got to yet.
If you wear a little hippie skirt, you can do a hippie squirt.
Although, there is a disappointment when you have relieved yourself and you're sure it's all done. You're finished. You put it back in its package and zip it up and then a little bit more. Dude, for real? Seriously? Yeah.
You couldn't get that out in the initial
run? Couldn't get that out. Uh-huh. And I sat there. Sometimes I will shake so much that I hope that no one else is in the bathroom because they think that I'm just getting
you're
a quickie
it.
In.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to get that last
Hawaiian dance
bit done. And sure enough, bleep, a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Do you know where that actually has happened? It's after the surgery, I don't have that happen.
Good
really,
for you.
Yeah. So it was not the way I wanted to achieve that.
It's
not a
big deal. It's just a little disappointment. And, you know, so here's the text that says, "This is why I don't want you guys to talk with our astronauts from the camp out. Yours truly, NASA guy." What's his name?
Yeah.
The guy who wouldn't let us talk to the International Space Station. Yeah, this is why.
This is information you can use. All
right. Well, anyhow, there are three different types that ladies have, and it's because of the muscles on the pelvic floor show these particular motions. A wave, a
Romini Gatto, Mr. Roboto, I want to lick your hiney, Cathy Romano.
Was that you?
That was me.
That was you.
No, that was not me.
So
I was going to do this one.
1, 2, 3.
There are three.
Okay.
You have the wave, the avalanche, and the volcano.
1, 2, 3.
All three. He had all three of them.
Yeah.
Now, I have another thing from the sex surrogate to share with you this morning. So I will pass this along to you.
Oh, yeah.
This is another study that was done.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So scientists in Japan discovered that the size of a man's manhood. I'll try to be.
We're being good. I think we're being.
Yeah,
considering what we're talking about, we're being quite good.
Good with the terminology.
Yeah.
Does have a lot to do with the length of your nose.
Dad, can I talk to you for a minute?
The team at the Kyoto Prefectural University of Medicine said that men with larger noses had, quote, a stretched penile length of at least 5.3 inches. That seems a bit tiny to me.
It's a Japanese study, though, right?
Actually, it is.
Okay.
And they did say that they need to check with other countries as well. They compared.
Bean is so small.
This compared to men with smaller noses who had one of 4.1 inches.
Bean is so small.
If you have a small nose. In order to gather their findings, the researchers looked at 126 men.
We cannot achieve much with so small penis.
With 3 days of death. What does this say?
You have to die for 3 days?
And measured their different body parts.
Wait a sec. Jesus. Run that back.
Casey, let's set it right there.
In order to get
126 men within 3 days of death.
So they're measuring the phallus after death?
Dude, that sucks.
They stretched it out till it almost broke.
Are they not?
Hey, let's do this on dead guys. They won't mind.
Yeah.
What the hell are you doing? I didn't see that when I was reading this story.
I'm saying this publicly. When I die, don't do anything with my wiener, okay?
You know they do it.
Hey, Casey,
you know. That's one thing I think. Listen, in the quiet isolation of a funeral parlor's basement, wherever they do the embalming or wherever that takes place, don't tell me that occasionally there's not a little something, a little, for example, if someone is being buried and they're massively well endowed or
somebody will say something.
Come in, take a look at this.
Yeah.
Possibly. I tend to think that they have a little bit more respect.
You would hope.
I think most.
I would hope.
I think almost all of them do, but you got your.
You got your
ropes. You got your cut-ups.
Yeah.
You got Eddie.
Yeah, you got Eddie.
Holy hell! You gotta come down on freaking real.
He gets on the intercom in the mortuary, calls everybody.
He goes into one of the wake rooms.
Oh my god! Hey, I know you guys.
Huge jump.
So anyhow, they used cadavers. They took in different factors.
That seems weird.
Such as height, weight, and measurements of the men's units. Ugh. In order to measure it, they stretched it out as far as it would go.
Penis is so small.
Wow. Dude, that seems ridiculous.
Okay, so what is ridiculous, and Steve, you watched the last Jackass movie.
Yes, I...
Chris Pontius, they took his... And they smashed it between two pieces of glass.
Yeah.
A lot like they'll do for a mammogram.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And it was insane how flat they made it and how much he said it didn't hurt.
Wow.
He's like, surprisingly, this is not painful.
I would think this, what they're conducting here on these cadavers, were you alive, that would be quite painful.
Yeah. And these numbers have to be wrong. 4.1 inches.
That seems quite weird. Now, people would talk about Adrian Brody and
Jackie Bam Bam,
but, you know, for the potential of huge junk. And so you're saying there's...
Yeah, so I think even subliminally, some women might see
feet,
or men.
Hands, nose are always, I think, correlated with...
This study did
dispel.
It debunked the foot thing.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that definitely is not related. They found. They said scientists then compared this the length. They stretched out as far as it goes. Scientists then compared this length to different body parts, including the feet, which had no links to the size of the penis.
I was just going to say tighter, shorter shorts for men are more in style now, and you can just. Pretty much see everything at this point. Like,
is that part of the modus operandi for guys who obviously are packing?
I don't know, but like I saw one and I was like, this is like I felt like how you guys say like if there's cleavage, you can't not look.
Yeah.
Like that's how I felt. Like, and I wasn't looking to be like, ooh, look at this guy. Like,
it's
I was
just
like,
there.
I can't not look at your balls bulging out of your shorts.
By the way. Text came in, says, Steve, you'll like this. I'm a critical care nurse. You better believe that we pull someone into the room when we got a Monster Johnson on our hands.
I knew it. Listen, that's fine as long as you don't. Yeah, that's fine.
Just taking a look.
Yeah.
You know?
If you're there, you're interceding on behalf of the patient, I think you're owed a peek if you want.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you can even like draw faces on it.
I would think.
Do a TIE fighter.
That the ill or deceased would probably like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, before they go off into the great beyond, cast off that mortal coil, knowing that someone had the decency to play with their junk in the final minutes.
Well, and it's like, I'm not saying play with it, but to admire it. You know, it's like when they...
Look at the size of this one.
When people conjecture when someone passes, they would have wanted it this way.
Right.
You know what I mean? Of course.
I'm telling you right now.
Yeah.
Do not...
No.
I'm not saying play with it. I'm not saying make a little hand puppet out of it or something like that. You know.
Oh, look at me. What about the butt? Can they play with your butt?
No. Okay.
What part of your body can we play with when you're dead?
None.
Okay.
So you know my deal. You got to cut me in half and put dip in my mouth.
Yeah, you leave your mouth
That's
open.
That's right.
Yeah.
We're going to
and put dip in your mouth.
Eat guacamole.
You know nobody's going to actually eat that guacamole though, Steve.
It's absolutely, there's going to be like a little, like a saran wrap thing. So it's not right in my mouth.
Are you kidding? We're all going to have to.
If it's in my final wishes.
Seriously. Yeah. We've worked together so long. We're like a family. You mean to tell me you're not going to eat guacamole out of Steve's dead mouth?
We're going to read from the will. Steve asked that you play with his dead penis and eat guacamole out of his mouth.
By the way,
I'm looking forward to the funeral now. I mean, I don't want you to go, but...
Yeah.
The study author of this penis study said, although our results are useless for forensic purposes, understanding the growing process of penis or facial features may be very important for extrapolating fatal androgen levels and following male genital functions.
So there's a correlation between nose size and testosterone?
Oh, that I don't know.
Androgen, maybe. Right? I don't know.
I don't know.
Hell.
But they said that it's important to note this study was just done on Japanese men and was from a small pool of people. This means that a bigger sample would need to be tested to garner an accurate representation of penis and nose size.
Hmm.
So they're working on it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Our finest minds.
Yeah. It's a work in progress.
All right. I think that's the last segment.
All right.
For the sex surrogate. You guys like that?
Yeah.
All right. Santa's got to go.
Yeah, I know somebody who didn't like it.
Yeah. Yep.
Santa's got to go.
All right. With that, we're going to take a break. We'll come back in a moment. And Bizarre File Stories are up next, as well as a quick stop on Fox 29. Good day. We'll be right back.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Listen on our mobile app or go to WMMR.com.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So I don't know how this is going to work. Because Marissa is normally here. What we do, she's still off. We have this, she is on the phone with a producer at Fox 29, and she will be standing to the side, and she'll give me, like, you know, a 30-second signal, and then a 10-second signal. And then
like
I
they
just,
do in TV.
And then I just kind of vibe it in until I hear them come live down the line, because I turn up this little fader here, and then we'll be able to hear them. I don't know where Casey is.
And perhaps he's doing In Touch with Fox?
Oh, okay. No, he's just going to the bathroom. He just walked in. So how do we know when we're going on the air? Normally, Marissa is talking to them.
Oh.
And so are we doing anything like that?
Yeah, I have no indication.
No idea.
Hey, wait, I'm going to phone call.
There you go. All right, good thing you were done going potties. So, and the music means we're going on Fox. How about that?
I think that's right now.
Yeah.
It's 7:56. Preston and Steve have been on vacation. It seemed like forever, but now they're back. Welcome back, guys.
Good to be back.
Yeah. All right, so we found this couple yesterday. They put it on the internet that they sleep in the same bed, but they have separate blankets. I absolutely understand why, you know, temperature differences and stuff like that. Steve, how about you?
Well, I sleep in a separate bed, so I buck the system. I sleep on top of the sheets and the bed cover, and I use a blanket. I do not like to be bundled and cocooned up. So, yes, I have my own blankets.
The same thing.
There you go.
I lay on top of the...
We could sleep together, Mike.
We absolutely could.
Like
and
before.
And I have a weighted blanket on top of me.
Yeah, really? Okay, so I do the same thing as Steve. My wife and I have slept in separate beds for 20 years,
yes,
probably now. And so I have my own blankie. I have my own... but more important, though, are pillows to me. I am like a six-pillow guy. I need... Four minimum, absolutely, but six is preferred because then you get you can swap out your warm pillows and cold pillows.
And you have a special configuration, don't you?
I do. One between my legs, two at my head, one that my arm lays on. Then I have two over here that are cooling off through the night, and then I switch them over. Yeah.
Where between your legs is this up in the crotchal region?
It's it stretches from crotch to knees. Yes,
to aerate the cojones.
Side.
Yeah. What's that?
Because you're on your side,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm a side sleeper. I absolutely am a side sleeper, yeah, so I always do that. But I don't have the...
I do the same thing.
I don't have a... Well, we could sleep together then, Karen. Mike and Steve.
They actually sell it. We talked about it on the show. There's a thing for bustier women when they sleep on the side. Kathy, we talked about it. That is a device that goes between the breasts that stops... sweatiness.
Like
if
legs.
You're sleeping on your side, same concept.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep.
It's a device. Trust me. We talked about it.
I like to have two on the when you're on your side, so one between your legs, one under like you would say, like between your arms on the front, underneath your head, and then two behind you. So when you swap sides and roll over, you can have the exact same configuration.
You guys are meant for each other. Yeah.
It should have been.
If you were to sleep together, you could keep cycling the pillows through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. And
Pat,
there's a temperature thing.
I never thought about the separate blankets, but that's kind of a good idea.
Yeah.
It is a good idea.
She's a germaphobe.
Well, no, but like different body temperatures, I think that would work.
And people blanket steal. Like sometimes my kids will sneak in bed and they totally blanket steal. And they keep unwrapping me and then I'm freezing because they keep cocooning. So you need separate blankets so they have their own one. They don't steal the blanket off of you.
You wind up
there shivering.
Unforgivable. Blanket stealing cannot be tolerated.
I agree.
Yeah.
No. They should be deported. What about Nick?
I'm like Preston and Steve. I sleep in a separate bed from my girlfriend. But Mike, she uses the weighted blanket, and she loves it. She can't sleep without the weighted blanket. But I find that to be too oppressive. I've tried it. And
it's
to me,
it
feels like it's suffocating. Yeah, so I'm not a weighted blanket guy.
25-pounder.
Yeah,
really? 25 pounds?
We have one of those. The cat sleeps on it.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Wow.
Is Casey there today?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm here, and I don't do this, but I think I love this idea because, you know, my wife and I sleep in the same bed, but we go to bed at different times. So a lot of times if I go to bed after her, she has all the blankets, and then I have to, like, do this, like, ginger pull the blanket from her without waking her up, which never works.
Yep. You should just magician her right off the bed.
Yeah, because she'll just, like, kind of be, like, all wrapped up. So, yeah, I love this idea. That way I could just have my blanket that I sleep with, and then I don't have to wake her up.
Okay. We've decided. We like this idea.
We fixed this.
I agree. Yeah. I think it's a great idea. Absolutely.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. We'll see you later. Okay. So we did the traffic thing. That means we can now do the Bizarre File thing.
Yeah!
No. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All righty. Let's begin. We will start with a follow-up story. Glenn Hirsch, the man accused of killing a food delivery worker in Queens for duck sauce. You remember this guy?
Oh, just a couple weeks ago.
Found dead inside his apartment on Friday. An attorney for Hirsch confirmed that Hirsch was found inside his apartment after he failed to show up to court. And according to the attorney, he committed suicide by shooting himself. Oh.
So there was a whole bunch of mental stuff going on there.
This guy was
hoarding duck sauce. By the way, when he killed that person, he had like a whole stockpile of duck sauce at his house.
The 51-year-old had been charged with stalking and murdering Xuan Yan, a delivery worker, after a series of complaints over duck sauce. And the murder has been since referred to as the duck sauce killer case.
Yeah.
And
coming soon to Law and Order.
He was released on $500,000 bail in June, ordered to house arrest. He was found dead on his couch, wearing rubber gloves, with the gun in his hand. A radio was loudly blaring music, and the couch had been wrapped in plastic.
What an elegant life. Yeah. All right, if you were to kill somebody over sauce, not saying you would, what sauce would you kill over?
Wow.
Yeah, Chick-fil-A
and I think
sauce.
I know Chick-fil-A, I assume, right?
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah, I think it's my favorite sauce. But if it were something like, man, would sour cream be considered? I don't know.
Nah.
I'll have to think about that.
Killing somebody for sour cream is ridiculous.
But sour cream's pretty awesome.
I know.
All right. Anyhow, Hirsch was found dead. Like I said, workers at the Great Wall Restaurant in Forest Hills, where Yan had worked, have said that Hirsch repeatedly harassed them over the amount of duck sauce he received in an order in November. Hirsch allegedly made threatening remarks to employees, damaged one's car, and pulled a firearm in another, and eventually ended up shooting and killing Xuan Yan.
So this clearly was not just about duck sauce.
There were
other issues going on in this guy's life.
He was deranged enough to kill somebody over that. So, yeah, but he took his own life. The NYPD is searching for five suspects who allegedly attacked a man with frying pans in Manhattan. Police say that around 2 a.m. on July 21st, the 34-year-old victim was arguing with someone, and that's when police say the group of suspects came up. Two of them began hitting the victim with what appeared to be frying pans. The suspects
kill someone.
Managed to escape with $220 in cash, credit cards, and documents. The victim was taken to New York City Health and Hospitals in stable condition with injuries to his head and knee. By the way, there's a whole great thing with frying pans in the movie Tangled. It's just fantastic. It's excellent. The suspects all got away and are still on the loose. There was approximately $1,200 worth of charges made on the victim's credit cards after they were stolen. So they are looking for these guys. In Kansas, on Monday morning, a woman called 911 to report she found her nephew's body in a pen. And she told dispatchers that she thought a buffalo had killed him. The report comes a day after a deputy was seriously injured after being charged by a buffalo. The sheriff is investigating to see if the same buffalo or different animals attacked the men.
But you got rid of me, didn't you?
After getting the call, deputies and EMS went to where the woman said her nephew was. They found the man's body in a row of trees about a quarter of a mile north of where the deputy was injured. The victim was 50-year-old Scott Schroeder. He was the owner of more than 20 buffalo kept at the location. The sheriff said that they are waiting for an autopsy report, but the coroner's preliminary cause of death is that he had been gored by an animal.
Jeez.
The injury to the deputy happened on Sunday night. 911 received a call about a buffalo on a Kansas highway. The deputy responded and found the animal. He tried to get it to return to pasture, and that's when the buffalo suddenly charged him. He was seriously injured.
It's go time.
A deputy arrived just as the animal was attacking the deputy and was able to put it down. He underwent surgery and is now in stable condition. The sheriff said both incidents are still under investigation.
You've obviously seen, when you see them up close,
oh my God,
you realize how insanely gigantic they are.
I was at a nature preserve or a wildlife preserve one time, and we had this vehicle that we could get into
with
the animals, and they would come up and you could feed them. And so we were feeding these huge animals, like these Watusi that had these huge horns, and they just looked gigantic. All these animals are gathering around, and then a buffalo wandered over. All of them left immediately. They got the hell out of there. Those things ruled the roost. They're just massive. Yeah. I mean, they're just so big. So, all right. So meth is legal now.
Yay!
That's what Enzo Cardoza advised Florida cops who caught him with a glass pipe in his lips attempting to light up early yesterday in St. Petersburg.
It's
in an alley.
Okay. It's legal.
It's legal now.
Yeah.
Upon spotting police, Cardoza began walking away, but not before declaring that meth is legal now. And
why are you rousting me?
He did not offer further details as to when lawmakers legalized the use of the highly addictive stimulant. As it turns out, however, meth possession is still a crime. As such, Cardoza was busted on a felony drug possession charge and misdemeanor count of resisting police. He was booked into the county jail. At his time, he was free on bond in connection with his arrest in late May for possession of meth and drug paraphernalia.
So this guy thinks he's like a political prisoner because this is completely legal.
Yep.
And they're incarcerating me, Lloyd.
Thank you. Lloyd. So is this art or is it trolling? Australian artist Matthew Griffin debuted a work that he titled Pickle. It is a single slice of pickle that he plucked from a McDonald's cheeseburger and chucked it onto the white ceiling of a gallery space. And it stuck. And it allegedly never fell from that spot. The work, which was recently shown at Michael Lett, a New Zealand gallery that hosted the former Cucumber at its show called Hosting Fine Arts in Sydney. Griffin is an artist known for starting conversations on the perceived pretentiousness of the art world.
So he mocks this kind of art.
You mock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I noticed, by the way, you're doing this story and wearing a pickle t-shirt.
Yeah, I am.
You are.
Did you guys like my pickle shirt?
I like your pickle t-shirt.
I had this made, by the way.
Oh.
I designed it myself.
Wow.
It says, I'll take your pickles. Because yes. I love pickles.
Pickles.
All right. So anyhow. So he uses comedy as a starting point to discuss serious issues like health and dental care for freelance artists in Australia, for example. According to the gallery, this most recent work is intentionally designed to question what art has value and what art does not.
Yes.
If you're hoping to see the work or maybe shell out $10,000 for the work, unfortunately, the
show... How do you get it?
Closed on July 30th.
Oh,
so there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you. Hey, a reminder that we have a secret text word. Chance to win a $50 Buffalo Wild Wings gift card. So text word secret to 39333. But it looks like Casey's giving me something to give away outside of that right now. I have a copy of Elvis on digital, starring Tom Hanks and Austin Butler and directed by Baz Luhrmann. So we'll take caller number 19.
Cool.
215-263-WMMR. Elvis will take your breath away with stunning sets, beautiful costumes, and everyone's favorite Elvis Presley songs. The film is now on digital, and that is what we are giving. Caller number 19. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
We had a story the other day about this couple in Greece, and they got ripped off from this restaurant that has done this before. We had it in the bizarre file where they, you know, went in to just order a beer and some oysters or something. They get like a $400 tab or something ridiculous, and it's a total scam.
It's gone national, global reporting on this place, and apparently a lot of people have encountered this same sort of ripoff.
Well, that's not the only ripoff out there. There are super duper expensive meals, and there's one that went viral recently, I guess. It's in Montauk, which is Kathy's home away from home now.
That's right.
You're there almost every weekend, right?
No, in Montauk, no. We just go for a week vacation. That's where we do our family vacation.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, you talk about Montauk a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up going there. I love it there.
Well, apparently there's a place, there's an Instagram video making the rounds. It shows an order of chicken fingers and French fries that's $90.
For one person?
No, so it's supposed to
Kathy's
be like
Kathy's had it actually.
No, I didn't.
I thought you said you had it.
No, I didn't have it. But I know about this place that's in Montauk. So it's supposed to be at a shared plate, and I think it was like 16 chicken fingers.
You get 16 chicken fingers,
and like so the person who posted this Instagram video, you can see the actual, like, they ordered it. You can see the actual plate. Like, it wouldn't even be enough fries for us in this room.
No kidding.
And 16 chicken fingers. It was
$90.
It's at a place called the Montauk Beach House.
Yeah. Okay. So it's a motel. There's most of the places to stay there are motels. So this is one of them. It's a trendy spot where, like, you don't have to be staying at the motel to go to. You can actually go to their pool and hang out for the day. It's like one of those places where all the young kids go take their Instagram photos and post it. And so you can, like, hang out. You can get, like, little areas that you sit around a table that's near the pool. You order food, drinks, all that. And $90 chicken fingers.
So this is a motel, not a hotel?
Yeah, so most places in Montauk are motels.
Okay. And they're charging $90 for chicken fingers and fries at a motel.
Yeah.
$90. Wow. So what would an average order of chicken fingers? When you order chicken fingers, you get about six?
Yeah, five or six.
Yeah.
Get some French fries. What? $6? Something like that? $8?
No, they're usually right. Most?
Yeah. Listen, this year especially.
They should be getting 60 then.
This year especially, the prices there were astronomical. It was absolutely ridiculous. My cousin ordered her son buttered noodles. I am not kidding you. $17.95.
Oh, my God.
For buttered noodles?
Buttered noodles.
You know what, though? As we're saying this, as we're speaking about this, if you think about it, Ed, if you go to a sporting event.
Oh, yeah.
If you were to buy something that had 16 chicken fingers in it
would be up there.
I bet you'd be 50, 60, 50 bucks.
You know,
probably,
you're right. You're right. Because I have. I've spent, you know, when we've had events and stuff comes up a little short and I'm trying to take care of the people. If we, you know, they've come out for an event that we're having and we have a suite or whatever. You're right. It can be that high.
So,
obviously, I mean, food costs have gone up, but.
Chicken fingers, like, think about what they're making on the chicken fingers or the $17.95 mm-hmm. buttered noodles. Like,
yeah.
What? I mean,
we get a chicken finger platter. Actually, it's like a, chicken cutlets. That's what the word is, cutlets. That feeds an entire party. There's a place near me called A Cut Above. And, like, that platter feeds an entire party, and that's $90.
And I'm looking at a picture of these chicken fingers. They look like your standard. Nothing special about them. Pulled right out of the freezer. Chicken fingers.
Chicken fingers.
A quick question. What's the new place that's all the rage?
Raising Cane.
Raising Cane. It is a chicken finger specific fast food restaurant?
Yeah.
All right. So what is it? Do we know?
Apparently the cane sauce is amazing.
All right.
It's like in press. I had.
I'd like to try it.
Yeah, I know. Me too. Because they say
it's around here.
They just opened one in University City.
Are they open at like 8:30 in the morning, for example, or
it's just a quick drive over? I'm not really sure, but press. I had said
we'll give you free commercials.
Chick-fil-A.
Oh, wait, that's illegal.
The
Chick-fil-A sauce is the number one fast food sauce, and somebody was saying you got to try the cane sauce.
All right. Well, listen, Steve did, and you did. This may open up a can of worms. We had the story about the duck sauce killers a little while ago, and you said. What sauce would be worth taking a human life
A human life for?
And that's a good question. So I must try this cane sauce if it is supposedly.
Anybody looking up the store hours?
One that might be worth killing a human being over.
And listen, it's not something we would do without putting some thought into it. We'd have to taste it first before we murdered someone. Yeah.
No, but I am looking up their prices. So a six chicken finger dish, it comes with French fries and some other stuff, coleslaw, is $15.19.
I'm sorry, say that again. How many fingers?
Six.
Six chicken fingers, fries, and coleslaw is $15.
With sauces, yeah.
That's still
That's a Raising Cane's
price. That's pricey. It's not $90, but well, let's see. How many? 6, 12, 18. So roughly, if you ordered three of those, you're talking about $45, right? And this is $90 for 16 chicken fingers. you know, it's half, it's double the price. This is stupid, man. This so the Montauk Beach House. So the guy who's the food and beverage director, Yanis Papagiani.
I make a chicken finger.
Maintained that the price of the dish is, quote, not even close to competitors, but that the chicken fingers are, quote, an amenity that the venue offers on certain occasions.
Oh, come on. Mm-hmm. Get the hell out of here.
The special today.
Chicken finger day. We'll also be putting out bowls of pretzels because it's a special day.
So Raising Cane's opens at 10 o'clock.
There glasses are... of water for everyone on Wednesday.
Seriously.
Oh, my God.
They open at 10 o'clock?
10 o'clock. They're 3.8 miles away. We should probably send somebody there for research. I don't know, do you think?
Research purposes.
Yeah.
I
think
I don't need to have it, but, you know.
No, I know. But the other scientists in the room.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
They do.
So, by the way, Papagiani, the food and beverage director here, explained that the chicken fingers are not on the regular menu, but offered for certain VIP guests at select times.
Get the hell out of here. I can't.
Mick Jagger's here. Break out the chicken fingers. Oh, there's a great chicken fingers. $90.
I mean, chicken fingers, I feel like, are overrated.
I love chicken fingers.
But chicken cutlets, I can wholly get behind.
I love chicken cutlets. I go the other way.
See, I'd take a chicken finger over a
finger
chicken
over
cutlet.
A cutlet. Finger me any day.
Yeah, don't cutlet me.
But when
finger me.
When they tenderize it.
Tenderize, they flatten it out.
I will take a very flat.
I do love chicken cutlets. I really love chicken fingers. I know what you're talking about. And someone makes the chicken cutlets very flat.
Mm-hmm.
Those are very good as well.
So in comparison to other local hotspots like Duryea's Lobster Deck. Duryea's Lobster Deck and Bounce Beach Montauk. The price is staggering. Duryea's chicken fingers go for $19 an order, while Bounce is slightly cheaper at $18 an order.
So those two places are, like, by the way, these are places that we don't even go to when we're there, but those are also very trendy spots. Like, Bounce is... If you guys would be so annoyed if you even saw it. Like, it's just, they literally built it, I think, and designed it for Instagram, basically.
Oh. And so the whole, is it Gurney's or what's the name of the place?
Gurney's.
Gurney.
Where they make those faces.
But that's one of the legendary upper crusty, What's that face for? It's Gurney's.
Now, Duryea's Lobster Deck, that's been there for years, but they sort of have gone a little bit more upscale in recent years.
Duryea's sells a $97 lobster Cobb salad.
Yes.
If you really want to spend
what
some
do
money.
You think?
$7.
What's the most you've ever spent on, like, one actual menu item? And it's got to be, for me, it's got to be some sort
of $5,000 for one chicken finger.
No, it's got to be some sort of a steak at, like, a high-end steak restaurant.
Yeah, I went to, what's the really awesome steak?
Butcher and Singer.
Barclay Prime.
Yeah.
I went there, but we were taken to dinner there by a record person or something like that who was buying dinner for us, so I did not pay for it.
Yes.
But that was probably the priciest cut of meat, if I recall.
Okay. How much? Do you remember?
I don't remember. It was like, you know, it was probably over $100, you know, something like that, so.
Yeah, I remember for your son's birthday last year. I think that might have been the most...
Gordon Ramsay's restaurant. Yeah. That was a special night, so we splurged.
Yes, and you should splurge if you can do it every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, I mean, to drop close to $100 for chicken fingers.
Mm-hmm. Well, we do have the list of the most expensive dishes and tasting menus in the world.
All right.
If you would like to get a little flavor of that world.
Maybe
guys.
It'll make these chicken fingers seem a little bit more affordable.
You have the Kyoto Kicho Arashiyama in Kyoto, Japan. They have a prefix menu that is $599.49. So there are several prefix menus to choose from. I do like doing the prefix menus. That's kind of fun. But for the costliest option, you won't leave hungry as the meal's at least 10 courses.
Oh, well, that makes sense then.
And features rounds of sashimi, grilled and steamed food, rice, pickled vegetables, and desserts to name a few.
A 10-course meal. Now, it's still 500. It's heavy duty, but 10 courses.
When I have been to, you know, some trendier restaurants, some ones that tend to be the top of of the food chain at the time.
Right.
There have been on occasion, and I don't mind smaller plates, but there have been occasion where I'm like, really, man?
Like, mm-hmm. like ultra.
Just like one mouthful.
Yeah.
That's one of your dishes.
Yeah, I don't dig that.
Come on. Mm-hmm. No. And
where are my chicken fingers?
And I get tapas style where everything is going to be smaller and you get like, you know, 15 of those. But I went to one really, really pricey and I was like, I left very underwhelmed, not at the taste, but at the amount of food that I got.
It's a big pompous thing. I tend to not eat at those places, A, because they're wildly expensive, but B, because my palate is not that cultivated. Mm. But Jesus, you know, it's more about how they're swirling the sauce or whatever, the presentation.
Restaurants Guy Savoy Monet in Paris. The prefix menu is $536. Oh, did I start with the most expensive one?
No, I don't think so. Did you?
You're right. No, I didn't. I don't know why these are in no particular order.
Don't go in the order. Disappoint the audience.
So the prefix menu of up to 13 courses described as a feast of textures, colors, and flavors. The price does not include drinks, however. It's $536.
Yeah, tag that on. You know, when you talk about meals that you didn't, my wife and I were in on Vancouver Island, one of the best vacations we ever took. And so we're at a Fairmont Hotel and they have high tea. Now, we were just thinking, you know, being the idiots that we are, oh, this is tea time. We already had lunch, but we're going to go back for tea time and have tea and, you know, a lady finger or, you know, a little a cookie. Yeah. That'll be wonderful. No, high tea is a full multi-course meal.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That's the way they were serving it. Yes, yeah, sandwiches and all sorts of stuff. And I'm like, Jesus.
Here is, let's see. So the one in, Paris, you get, for the hundreds of dollars, you enjoy duck, lobster, and artichoke soup with black truffles in addition to other delightful dishes.
You guys like duck?
No.
Yeah.
Never had it.
Yeah.
It's, a little greasier, Casey, than a chicken.
Yeah. It's got, if they have skin on it, there's a lot of fat.
Don't even bring that to me. I don't want to hear about it.
All right. Sorry, Gene.
Ronald. Liam. Chelsea.
I forgot this was still happening.
It's going to go on for years. There were 5 million chickens that were killed in that fire.
Through a fraction of them.
Yeah.
But they will be honored.
Gene Simmons is reading the names of every chicken that was killed in that fire.
Absolutely.
Yeah, 5 million of them.
Petey. Dexter.
All right. There's a restaurant, Masa, in New York. And its dinner menu is $595.
What do you think routinely is going to present to you the most expensive menu? Would it be a top-level sushi place or a top-level...
I was thinking more French.
French?
Yeah. But I'm not really
Ooh
sure.
Ooh la la.
Yeah. The menu changes regularly. Expect to be served only the finest Japanese cuisine, carefully crafted by Chef Masayoshi Takayama.
We have a very small penises.
Oh, my God. They offer the dining's a little different than ordering sushi as a midnight snack, but spicy tuna rolls, one of the most popular late-night takeout orders around the country. That's going to cost you $500-some-odd. All right, so in Shanghai, there's a place called Ultraviolet. These are the most expensive meals in the world, by the way. $872 if you want to have dinner there. And it's a 20-course meal. Comes with theme music for every course.
Oh.
As well as light shows. All guests at the table are
served. I'll bring a flashlight to McDonald's.
The same food at the same time. And so if you want to head to China, they said that it is a part of a life-changing trip if you would like to go.
Yes, it'll make you impoverished.
Yeah. Boy, is my life changed.
It's over.
I can't afford my bills anymore.
I'm broke.
You have the Burger Brasserie in Las Vegas.
I'm a burger dude.
Well, the Kobe beef and Maine lobster burger will set you back $777.
For $770 for a burger?
Yeah, the burger has pancetta, goat cheese, seared foie gras, arugula, Maine lobster, and 100-year-old aged balsamic paired with a BLT salad. 100-year-old aged balsamic.
When they do that type of thing, like a 50-year-old bottle of wine, or like that, to me seems like a gimmick. Like, how much better can a 100-year-old balsamic vinegar be than a 5-year-old?
I know.
You know?
Right. So this also comes with a bottle of Rosé Dom Pérignon Champagne.
All right.
So that's, you know, going to add to it as well. So you do get that little thing. Sometimes they'll have, you know, a diamond-encrusted...
Chicken nuggets.
Napkin holder or whatever.
These are diamond-encrusted chicken fingers.
In New York, Serendipity 3 has the Golden Opulence Sundae for $1,000.
No.
So this is clearly one of those ones that are festooned with gold, right? Gold leaves and stuff like
that? Yeah, so in this dish, Tahitian vanilla ice cream made with Madagascar vanilla bean is covered in 24-karat gold leaf, specialty chocolates, Parisian candied fruits.
Right this way, Mr. Elliott.
Truffles, caviar.
Your heavenly hash is waiting.
And more.
Snooty.
A sundae of this.
Not.
Oh, that'll be a hoot. A sundae of this magnitude isn't served in a simple glass dish, but rather a baccarat crystal bowl that you can take home as a souvenir. So there you go. And you can order. You have to order it at least 48.
But that's no big deal. I went to a place where you could take home the menu. It's all the best places to bass fish in Canada.
Yeah.
48 hours in advance. By the way, I watched an episode of, is it Man vs. Food?
Yeah.
The guy that eats all, you know, the huge.
Yes, yes.
Well, they were doing a Philly episode. He went to Tony Luke's. There's like this freaking 5-pound sandwich that they make at Tony Luke's, and he ate it.
Freaking Tony Luke's.
But there was an ice cream joint that they featured on there in Philadelphia. Oh, my God. Oh. It looked amazing.
Was it the one on Market Street in Old City?
It might be. These guys had like old-timey mustaches, like old DiBella mustaches.
Is,
you know, with the curly Q mustaches.
Was it DiBella?
It wasn't DiBella.
Franklin Fountain?
It might have been.
Yeah.
But wow. That, like, they make everything there from scratch, all the whipped cream and all the stuff. I really want, but they had one.
Wow.
They had a special dish that he ate. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
That's got to be it. Franklin Fountain. But they had, I forgot what it was called. I forgot what it was that he ate, but I would like to have one.
Have you ever been here?
No.
It's a really cool place to go to.
I would like to go to.
Yeah. There's always a line.
Okay, but absolutely everything in the establishment is made there.
Yeah, and it's really good. I mean, Kathy's right. Like, it's delicious stuff. It's pricey, and you're paying a bit for the experience.
But I don't care. You guys know ice cream is my.
Would you spend $1,000?
No.
No, I would not. Yeah. Hell no, I would not.
No. Come on. Delicious ice cream were. You got that heavenly hash that Nick gave you.
But I do.
We tried to kill you.
It's in the freezer.
I tried to kill you.
Yeah, I saw that tomorrow. All right, let's get back to this list of other most expensive dishes in the world.
Everyone, Mr. Elliott is here.
Well, hang on. Let me go to, real quick, I'm going to go to Mike, who works in the restaurant industry. He wants to talk about some of these high-end prices. Hey, Mike, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Ed. How are you today?
Good morning, Ed, buddy. I'm good. So what can you shed some light on here?
So a couple quick things. First off, working in the industry and I'm pricing out food and that kind of thing, if we're paying, say, $10 a pound for chicken wings, that means 6 wings to a customer are going to be about $15 to $20.
Okay.
We got to make at least a triple return on an item in order to pay salaries. Kitchen cooks are making between.
Yeah. You got to pay the people that are putting this together for you. Sure.
Mike, is that a standard way of reckoning this, or has it gotten a little out of whack of late with the prices going up?
Well, so it's gone out of whack, but there's other things that restaurants do. So, like, hand-cut French fries cost nothing to make.
Yeah.
So an order of, like, a 6-ounce order of French fries, hand cut, including labor, cost a restaurant about $1. But the average price is about $6-$7. But then they turn around and they sell a chicken breast on a salad for $5. And the cost in that chicken breast is about $3-$4.
Okay. All right.
So they kind of, every restaurant kind of makes up in certain ways.
Okay. So what about $90? For how many chicken fingers was it? 16?
16 chicken fingers.
That's ridiculous.
Yes.
Dude, that's just absolutely ridiculous. But Preston, as a connoisseur, I'm going to recommend that you go to Alinea in Chicago.
Ooh, okay.
One of the most amazing restaurants in the world. Research the chef. He lost his palate through cancer.
Oh.
And then redeveloped his palate.
Whoa.
Amazing courses.
What's the cuisine, Mike?
Cost is
no the cuisine of this restaurant.
People, the name of the restaurant's Alinea.
Okay.
And cost per person is about $300, and okay. That's not including any beverage.
Steve was asking what the cuisine is.
Oh, cuisine all over the place.
Okay,
it's hard to describe, but we got when we had dessert. One of the dessert courses was a fruit roll up kind of compote made into a helium filled balloon with a sponge sugar string. the entire
Jesus
thing was
Christ.
There was a bouquet of herbs hanging from the ceiling above a candle. We thought that was like instead of a flower or whatever. Sixth course came around. They brought out a broth. They cut the bouquet off the thing. It had been toasting under the candle for the entire evening. They ground it up and put it into the broth. That was a soup course.
So like, it's a major amazing. Production. So they do all of this. And obviously this is the kind of thing that you make it an event, you save up for it and you go and have a good time, but you're saying it's well worth it.
Without a doubt. Without okay. a doubt. It's one of the most amazing experiences I've ever had dining in my entire
wow.
life.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow. Right. We've never heard of that.
We went to Gibson's while we were in Chicago and had a special meal there. That was pretty cool.
And Gibson's is really cool, too. Yeah. And if you went to the bars, Aviary is the bar that's owned by Alinea in Chicago. There's also one in New York City, too,
all right.
which is also incredible.
Cool.
Like cocktails englobed in ice balls, that kind of stuff.
Wow. Okay. All right. Thanks for the heads up, Mike. We appreciate it.
Wow.
Have a good one, man. Guys. All right. We'll see you.
That's a whole higher end. But at least now there's a man who knows what he's talking about in the restaurant industry, and he says it's ridiculous to pay $90 for chicken fingers.
I was speaking about great restaurants. I got a text from our buddy Mark Summers the other
yes.
day. He's on vacation, and he's taking this. Somebody had offered him this trip, and it's great. He's on this, you know, this private yacht. And
yes.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I remember he was talking about it.
And he's in, he sent me a picture. It said at Positano. I'm not sure where that is.
Italy.
Yeah. In Italy, okay. Yeah. So he sent me a picture. It said, best restaurant I have ever been to. And if anybody knows restaurants,
yeah, it's him.
Mark Summers. And the restaurant is called Le Scoglio de Tommaso.
That's Italian for Burger King.
Oh, is that what it is? But he says the best restaurant he's ever been to.
Wow.
He was just there. I saw some of his social media posts. I was in Positano years ago, and it was probably one of the most beautiful places I've ever been to.
Nice.
You went on your honeymoon, right? Or is that a different time?
Yeah, it's the first husband.
It's a really good question. Wait, hold on. Let me think about this for a second.
All right. The other super-duper expensive meals that you can find in the world, there's one at Sublimotion in Ibiza. It's called Sublimotion. And you will pay for a dinner about $1,757, it says here.
We're talking a dinner per person, right?
It is a 3-hour dining experience.
That comes with an accountant?
$1,700 per person. That's more than the average family will spend in an entire month on food.
I don't want to be there for 3 hours, though. That's the thing. Like, 2 hours max.
Yeah, but if you're spending $1,700, I want to be there for the weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where are the good $1,700 fast food places?
So they said they create a spectacle for the eyes, ears, and taste buds. Music and arts go along with the 15 to 20 course tasting menu. Want to talk to somebody who's had a really, really expensive meal?
Yeah, yeah.
We got Kelly on the line. Hi, Kelly. Good morning.
Good morning, bitches. What's up?
Hey, bitch. all right. So you went to a super duper expensive restaurant. What was it?
So it's called Dick Frutar. It's in Barcelona, Spain. And my husband and I went on our honeymoon. And at the time, it was not ranked as high, but currently it's the number 3 restaurant in the world.
Okay.
Wow.
And what did you have?
So we actually went for lunch, and we had what they called the Grand Prix menu, and that was 36 courses.
Okay.
It was insane. Like, there was, I mean,
how are you still hungry?
4 of the courses alone were dessert.
Okay.
So it was
Casey's on board.
And like the past caller just said, it's just so gastro. The things that they give you are so completely out of the box. I sat down and I cried because, like, it's a Michelin-starred restaurant, and it has always been my dream to go to one, at least. And it was, like, at the end, dessert was, it was, like, vanilla bean cotton candy, but they brought it out on what looked like an old cotton, like you would pick cotton off of a field.
Okay.
Yeah, but let me tell you this, though. So one course, they bring out this insane, like, old aged scotch, right? And they present this bottle to you, and they ask you to put out your hands, and they pour some into your hands.
Well, me being the ignorant American, I slurped it up and, like, drank it. And you were supposed to wash your hands with it. So that
yes. Yes.
Oh, that's great.
Really
that's
funny.
Great. By the way, those mints in the latrine were delicious. You know, Kelly, I would have thought the exact same
totally.
Thing.
You're thinking, oh, it's a different culture. Yeah, this is the way they do this. That's they're going to so drink funny. It this way. I mean, it's an aged scotch for crying out loud.
Too good to not try. Like, why am I washing my hands?
Oh, my God. That's so funny. So what was the final cost for per person?
It was more than our mortgage payment. It was about 17 and change.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
But you were there for your honeymoon, right? So you it was part of a dream come true, correct?
Oh, yeah. It went on the credit card and, like, maxed it out immediately.
$1,700.
Was it worth it?
It was. It was very lost on my husband, but he was a trooper, and he tried a lot of things. But for me, as a chef, as a pastry chef, like, I've gone to culinary school, it was a world-class experience. He was a trooper.
Can I ask you, Kelly, 36 courses, you said. Are you not completely to the point of vomiting at that point? Or, I mean, what kind of volume of food are we talking about?
So they're small portions. Like, think like when you see stuff on Top Chef, like, they're not large portions. It's small. It's like it's like 2 to 3 bites. They taste it really well. You're there for 2.5 hours. And then, like, they retire you in when you eat there, they retire you to this, indoor outside, like, sitting area where you, like, smoke cigarettes and drink cognac. So, like, you digest everything. It's not like we're eating this at a rapid pace.
I gotcha.
You're not. Like, my husband could have ate after, actually, I feel like.
No, well, and from where you're coming from, I can see why this should be important to you if you yourself are in that culinary world. But we're looking, I guess this is the Instagram page up here in the studio, and the stuff looks unbelievable.
Yeah,
and the chef was super nice. He came out to our table. He walked me through the kitchen. Like, I don't know how he said that. I felt like an honor to meet him, but then he's like, oh, this is a chef from the United States, and I'm like, absolutely not. I am not you. But it was incredible.
That is cool.
Yeah, Kat, where are you a pastry chef?
So I'm your Mary Mead girl. I make all the baked goods at Mary Mead Farm.
Mary Mead Farm's great!
Yeah.
Oh. Preston stole your ice cream.
Yeah, that's right.
Remember that?
Yeah, you got to come.
Thumbs up on the peanut butter chocolate, by the way. Excellent. I need more of that. All right, thank you, Kelly.
Yeah, no problem. Have a good one.
See you later. By the way, I got a text that says, you know, on the heels of that really expensive dinner, said, I, last night, had the meatloaf with 3 sides at Cracker Barrel.
Oh, man, that's great. And they throw in a free Meltilla CD.
And then somebody said, this is good, it says, I once took a girl to Olive Garden and then got her pregnant. Yep, that was an expensive dinner. All right, let me rip through a few more of these. So the most expensive meals in the world. In New York at Norma's, they have what's called the $1 zillion lobster frittata.
Frittata?
$2,000.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
that's an expensive meal.
The omelet includes 10 ounces of Sevurga caviar, which is a big factor in price for those who can't afford to pay the cost. There's a smaller frittata with only 1 ounce of caviar available for just $200.
Have you ever?
I think
had
it's disgusting.
I don't even know if I've had it.
I hate it. And anytime I've tried it, I mean, I've had different types of roe before, even in sushi. Sometimes you get, you know, salmon eggs and things like that, and it's a form of caviar.
Right.
I don't like it. It's way too powerful of a flavor.
It's
for me.
Salty, right?
It's super duper salty. Yeah. Industry Kitchen in New York has what they call the 24K pizza. It's not $24,000.
Oh, my God.
It's $2,700.
$2,700. Now, I love pizza. We got one of those backyard pizza ovens you hook up to a propane tank, and we've been making our own pizzas. It's really cool. But $2,700, what could possibly warrant that?
Well, it requires a 2-day advance order. And you are not paying for an average cheese and pepperoni pie. This pizza has Stilton cheese, foie gras, platinum Ocetra caviar, once again with the caviar. Truffles and 24 karat gold leaves to top it off. That's stupid.
Forgive me, but what foie gras again is the
it's goose liver.
Goose liver, yes. Yeah. Right.
And I do like foie gras, which, you know, I know it's not ethically a very good thing to have because they fatten up the birds, really. And
they staple them to death.
On the
don't
rarest
they?
Of occasions, I will have it. But no, they just it's bad for the animal. It's considered cruel.
There's a picture of this very same pizza that you're talking about up in this. That does not look enticing to me
looks
at all.
Looks horrible.
No. Yeah.
Looks disgusting. All right.
It looks like paste with the stains on it.
At Fleur in Las Vegas, you can have the Fleur Burger 5,000, and that does cost you $5,000.
$5,000.
And it's just outside the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino. Only the most expensive meat is used to flavor this $5,000 burger. The Wagyu beef costs about $100 per pound. Also adding to the high cost are truffles worth $1,500 per pound. The meal also comes with a bottle of 1995 Chateau Petrus.
Well, there you go.
Valued at $2,500.
So what is considered a better beef, Wagyu or Kobe?
Wagyu, I've heard, is by far the
all right
the top of the line, but I'm not
the
sure.
Ultimate.
See, this is cheating. The you call this a burger and you charge $5,000, but you're throwing in a $2,500 bottle
absolutely.
Of champagne.
Yeah,
I agree 1,000%.
It's
that's
like bogus.
If you were to serve $90 chicken fingers with a Maserati,
yeah.
and then you claim that was the price of the meal, yeah. that's not no, that doesn't work.
But still, if you think about it, $2,500 bottle of spirit there, it's still a $2,500 burger on top of that, which is pretty sick.
Right.
So, Steve, here, Nick found this bit of information about Wagyu beef. It says, Wagyu marbling is better tasting. That's the fat that,
right.
that goes through the meat. Wagyu fat melts at a lower temperature than any other cattle's, resulting in a rich, buttery flavor unseen in other strains of beef. This fat is also unsaturated and high in omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acids, meaning not only is Wagyu marbling more delicious, it's also more healthy.
Steve, the source on this, and I'm not kidding, is Steak University.
Really?
Out of Chicago, yes.
Steak U.
My Chicago Steak, and they have their own little Steak University, and you can learn all about it.
SU.
All right. Two more items on the most expensive meals in the world. This one is at Renato Voila.
Voila!
In Salerno, Italy. And the Louis the 13th pizza.
Okay.
And I'll bet you it comes yep. with the booze, right?
Hey, come on.
Is that what it does? That's bullcrap.
Louis the 13th, when you go into a bar,
right.
mm-hmm. at the very, very top of the where they have the booze displayed, sometimes there's one bottle with a little light on it.
Yes.
That's Louis the 13th.
So to me, you would have a pizza that would have this particular spirit mixed in with the dough or something like that, right? That would make it more. Otherwise, to me, it's not the exact cost of the meal.
So the pizza has toppings such as mozzarella di bufala, lobster, and caviar, all flown in from different parts of the world. And to top it off,
What am I talking about? I am talking about the need to eat pizza.
There you go. It says the feast is served with Remy Martin cognac, Louis the 13th, and champagne. Krug Klaus de Menzies? Not de Menzies. Are you on de Menzies?
This is a red wine.
1995. Okay. And then the last one, is the most expensive meal in the world, the Fortress Resort and Spa in Sri Lanka.
Oh.
And they have the Fortress Stilt Fisherman Indulgence.
Okay. Somewhat separate note. I saw Steve. I think this was History Channel. It was fascinating. It was richest people like in history,
right?
And this, I never had seen anything about this fortress before. But this, I don't know if it's like a sultan or whoever,
right?
Built this place, and if in today's standards, it would be the most expensive piece of real estate in the world.
In the world,
it's a fascinating look into the and Preston. I guess this restaurant is right next to it, or a part of it, or whatever.
Okay. It's across from the Hooters.
It's a tourist attraction at this point, and so you know anybody can go and visit. But it's a really impressive place, and I had never heard of it until I saw this show on the History Channel.
Well, the Fortress Stilt Fisherman's Indulgence cost $14,500.
Is this, Connor, is this what we're looking at on the screen here?
This is stupid looking.
It's ridiculous. It looks like a game of mousetrap.
Steve, you are, dude, yes.
Right?
Yes. The guy on the little springboard that dives in it, that's what it looks like.
You know what? I'll have chicken fingers and play mousetrap for much, much less.
So it's made on a special request, minimum of 24 hours notice.
Just $90 fingers, Kathy, looking a lot better with this.
Yeah, seriously.
It's a dessert, by the way. It's a dessert that features Italian cassata flavored with Irish cream. I don't know what that is.
I might be in.
And is served with a pomegranate and mango compote. The base is a champagne sabayon adorned with it. Listen to this, Kathy. An 80-carat aquamarine stone.
Oh, well, there you go.
So you're now at a jewelry store.
Yeah.
And dessert,
which is placed beneath a handcrafted chocolate stilt fisherman.
You can get is the unlimited breadsticks at Olive Garden,
right?
But there's one that costs $10,000 because it comes with rubies.
Yeah. All right. Anyhow, those are the most expensive meals in the world. So yeah,
that's a type of living that is completely alien to
us. Just cushioned the $90 chicken fingers part of that.
So if you go to Montauk, pay $90 for chicken fingers,
this is
no
a steal.
Yeah.
All right. By the way, real quick, I want to mention we have a new Daily Rush video that's up and running. It's called Beer, Social Diseases, and the Great Depression. Steve takes on a tour of Philadelphia's long history of women brewers and also their social diseases throughout the years. And you can be the first to see the newest Daily Rush by subscribing to our YouTube channel, which is sponsored by Xfinity's Gig Speed Internet. Learn more at Xfinity.com. We're going to take a break, and when we get back, the lovely Danica McKellar will join us. Stay with us.
The President Steve Show podcast.
Wait, turn up the sound.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
We love having our next guest on.
Yes.
She's an actress. She's a mathematician. She's an author. She's a pretty cool person all around, I'd say, right?
She's done Hallmark Christmas movies.
Of course.
and that alone. Yeah, for me, that's everything.
Please welcome. And by the way, she's promoting her new book, which is called Double Puppy Trouble, which you can find at doublepuppytrouble.com. I'm sure you can probably find it pretty much anywhere, too.
Yes.
Please welcome the amazing Danica McKellar.
Yay!
To the show. Hi there, Danica.
Hello. Hi, how are you guys?
We're doing great. Good to have you on again. Yet, how many books now for you, Danica?
This is my 11th McKellar math book.
Oh, my goodness.
So the last one was The Times Machine, right? The last one was, they all have wonderful conceits to them. And correct me if I'm wrong, but this is about math and doubling numbers. And I don't know if I'm correct on this, but I've always liked those things. I remember even as a kid, like the thing used to be, if you took a penny and you doubled it and you did this, those kind of things always fascinated me. Is that kind of what the focus of the book is on?
Yes. Well, so it's a story. It's a picture book. It's a fun story that sneaks some math in. It sneaks in the concept of doubling. And then at the very end of the book, I do this sort of this epilogue type add-on where I say, okay, well, if you picked one lemon off a tree the first day, then two lemons, and then four lemons, and then I double it. By the end of, like, the 31st day of the month, it's over a billion lemons you have to pick that day. So, yeah, so what you're talking about, I definitely show. In the book, the numbers only get up to 1,024. But what it does, so it's this book about this little girl who wants more of everything. And be careful what you wish for, because she finds a magical stick that if you point it at something and push the button, that thing will double. She points with her puppy, and the button gets stuck. So the puppies keep doubling and doubling, and so it's 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128, and it's just puppy mayhem, and she's just, these puppies just spilling out of the house in every room. They're getting into everything. They're taking baths. They're putting on their clothes, you know, running down the halls, sliding down banisters, and it's just so cute. I mean, it's so, you know, and I show how the numbers double. To me, one of my missions in life is to make math approachable and fun and not scary, you know. And what could be less scary or less
than puppies?
Intimidating. They're like puppies. I mean, puppies, they're so cute. So creating this association with little kids and big numbers that's fun and just adorable just seemed like a great idea. And people are loving it, and I couldn't be more thrilled.
No, these are really successful. And honestly, I was not a math person. I mean, I did okay, and if I had this kind of approach, I'm sure I would have embraced it a little bit earlier. There is an attraction on some level because, you know, we're all into different elements of science, and you know, I it can be daunting though in those initial stages. And I think this is what schools did wrong for so long. Mm. You became a math enthusiast in college, correct?
Yes, yes. I mean, I always liked a good challenge, but if you asked me if I liked math in middle school and high school, I was like, yeah, but it's hard, you know.
Yeah.
And in middle school, actually, was a very pivotal time for me. In seventh grade, I was terrified of math, and we had a new teacher come in midway through the year who changed it all, and suddenly the same exact things were doable. They were accessible to me, and that's when I first learned. Oh, I didn't realize it at the time that presentation is everything when it comes to math, because math is a foreign language, and you've got to translate it properly, and you can mess that up easily, or you can present it to kids in a way that does make sense.
I assume that for someone like yourself, it's like, so I like I like crossword puzzles. My family and I, we do escape rooms and things like that. So I like going through the process of solving the riddle, of figuring out how to answer this. And I assume it's the same. Now, I didn't catch the math bug didn't catch me in that regard, but I assume it's akin to something like that for you, right?
Absolutely. It's like, yeah, it's like solving puzzles, but the value in it isn't so much about that. I mean, it's related. The value for kids is it sharpens your brain. Math sharpens your brain. Mm. And when you stick with it and you don't give up on yourself, you teach yourself all kinds of lessons. You know, not only are you going to be better at finances, but you're going to teach yourself the lesson of fortitude and facing challenges and not backing down. You teach yourself that you're stronger and smarter than you thought when you finally get that math problem correctly. And I can't, you know, oversell the importance of kids gaining that confidence at a young age, because that will carry through to all parts of life. Math is simply a tool. You know, if you end up becoming a scientist or mathematician, then yeah, you're gonna literally use the stuff you're learning. But if you don't, that's okay. The way you program your brain is everything as a kid.
Danica, I think you've been a clue and or an answer on Jeopardy several times. And the other night, Jeopardy had a category that was about prime numbers. And I'm okay in math. I did pretty well in school. But prime numbers always stump me. Are you good at prime numbers? Do you know them? Have you memorized them?
Well, prime numbers are just numbers that don't have any factors except for one in themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there are branches of mathematics that do super in-depth studies of prime numbers, and there are formulas. I mean, I studied prime numbers a little bit in college. They're awesome. I mean, what was the question?
He's wondering, have you memorized them? Can you rattle off like just a whole ton of them?
You can't memorize them. I mean, they're an infinite number of them.
Right. Yeah, okay.
It's like saying, have you memorized all of pi? Well, not all of pi. That
no, but there are people who will give you, you know, 36 characters of pi, and it's impressive, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
We didn't know if you did that with prime numbers.
She's too busy to do that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I haven't really thought about
she's
it.
She's writing kids' books, yeah.
Yeah, let me ask you a more important question.
2, 3, 5, 7, 11, 13, 17, 19. I mean, you could... You
there
know,
you go.
I could do that.
Yeah. I 23, 31. So, but does it piss you off as much as it pisses me off that Amazon Prime Day was on 7/14 and not 7/13?
That is hilarious. I never thought about that. Now it does. Now
it bothers
me. Now she's mad.
Yeah. We had a bad question from Nick, and now this one's got her all pissed off. Look what we did.
Damn it.
Oh, my gosh.
No, I love you guys so much for even bringing that up. I love that. That's so awesome. Yeah, Prime Day should be at a prime number.
It makes sense, right?
Danica, at the top of the conversation, Steve had mentioned the Hallmark films. Yeah. And is that continuing? Do you do more of those, or are you done? Or I mean, you've done several of them, but is that still going to be part of your future?
Yeah, I've done 16 Hallmark Channel movies.
Wow.
I'm doing movies for a new channel now called Great American Family.
Yes.
The man who ran Hallmark Channel for 20 years started a new network. So Great American Family, I've done one for them so far. It was called The Winter Palace. It was actually going to re-air on the 13th, and we like prime numbers. I think it's 5 o'clock. Maybe on the East Coast. Anyway, yes, I think it might be 8 o'clock on the East Coast.
So you're not...
On Saturday, it's going to re-air The Winter Palace, and then I'm going to be doing a Christmas movie for Great American Family that I can't discuss details on yet, but that'll probably be out early December on Great American Family. So go find that channel. It's a new channel. It's awesome. It's very similar to Hallmark Channel.
Okay.
So now there's just more places to find
family-friendly,
happy movies.
Are you exclusive to that channel, or can you go back and forth? Because I know you were doing the Matchmaker Mysteries as well.
Yeah, well, to discuss the details of my contract, I'm exclusive with Great American Family for rom-coms and Christmas movies. But if Hallmark wanted to do mysteries, I would absolutely do it. I mean,
okay.
they canceled most of their mystery series a few months before I went over to Great American Family, in fact. They just were sort of revamping things and rethinking things. And
right.
One of the things they did was to halt production on, like, all the mysteries. So I don't know why. I don't understand that. I thought they were super fun.
Well, so did I, damn it.
All right, well, in the meantime, we have Double Puppy Trouble to occupy our time for. It's a children's book. It's for math. What age do you recommend the book for, Danica?
You know, it's a super fun book with puppies, so kind of any age. But the prime age, I'm just going to use that number a lot now. Prime age for this book would be ages 4 to 8 or 4 to 9, and so that they get something out of the doubling lesson itself and not just looking at cute pictures of puppies. But look, you've got a younger kid, too. They're going to love it. These puppies are so cute. Jose Massey, the illustrator, did an amazing job. Same illustrator as the Times Machine, because the Times Machine, my multiplication division book that you brought up, that one has such complicated illustrations. And I thought, you know what? If anybody can handle drawing hundreds of puppies, and yes, there are hundreds of puppies on some of the pages, I knew she'd be the one who could do that.
Excellent. All right.
Well, I love the idea.
Yep. Keep up the great work, Danica. We appreciate you checking in. And
sorry about Nick's question.
Yeah.
That was a really damn good question. You'll be thinking about prime numbers all day.
All right. Danica McKellar, guys. Thank you, Danica. I'll see you later. All right.
I knew what you were going for, though. It's like sometimes you can reel off.
She's too smart. Like, yeah. you know what I mean? To her, that was like a what are you talking about question.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The rest of us are like, well, so do you know them all?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you know numbers? So get off your ass, let's do some math.
Math, 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 math. Now we have a math song.
Oh, that's excellent.
That's from School of Rock. School of Rock. Yes. Okay. Almost said Back to School. Different movie. Way different.
Back to School of Rock.
What was I going to mention? There was something about numbers I was going
to
mention.
You know what occurred to me, by the way? You're thinking about the number thing? I mean, we usually completely fall apart on Wednesday after a vacation. I think we're doing okay.
My energy level is good.
It's not bad.
It's really good. Like, God, I feel great. Actually, yeah, I'm surprised. Normally by the third day back, I'm hitting a brick wall, but it's probably going to be right after the show.
Anybody take any naps this week?
No.
I did, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I went to bed before 8:30, though.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right. Good for you. I consider that a win. If I go to bed by 8:30, I'm like, yes.
That was a perfect day. My wife rubbed ointment on my leg. I had some pudding. It was a Matlock double feature, and I went to bed at 7.
I remember what I was going to mention about math and formulas and things like that was, so in Stranger Things, in the third season,
right.
They bring up a thing that becomes an important plot point. It's called Planck's constant.
Yes.
I'm fascinated by those things, like these famous numbers for whatever reason there is. There was also in the Da Vinci Code, I learned about the Fibonacci sequence.
Oh, right, yeah.
And
all these classic.
Yeah, that these people in that realm are like, oh, yes, of course. Well, they know what it is automatically. I have no idea what Planck's constant is, but did you find it?
It's like Pfeffermeyer's integers.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Fluffermeyer was underrated.
Well, he's ahead of his time, really.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
Fluffermeyer.
Integers. Yeah. Very well known.
Let's see. Is there a quick description of what this is?
No, there's not. No, it's long and complicated, and beyond.
Do you know what they used to actually? They used to have on when Big Bang Theory was on, they actually had a number of math geeks and physicists and so on and so forth who would sort of populate their scripts with these things, Preston. You'd hear this stuff mentioned fairly often, along with things like Occam's Razor and stuff, stuff like that. These long-held conceits that forget. You know, Schrodinger's cat, stuff like that.
What's the one that if anything can go wrong, it will.
Yeah. Murphy's Law.
Murphy's Law. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And then there's Murphy's wood polish
oil.
Murphy's oil.
The Planck constant, here you go. Planck's constant is a fundamental physical constant of foundational importance in quantum mechanics.
Okay, so that means like the heat of the meat plus the torque of the dork
is equal to the angle of the dangle.
Okay.
What would that thing be called? That's got to have a name to it. The constant gives a relationship between the energy of a photon and its frequency. And by the mass energy equivalence, the relationship between mass and frequency.
There's the sequence in the Stephen Hawking film.
Oh, in The Theory of Everything.
Theory of Everything, yeah. Where he is he's presenting his thesis, you know, and they're arguing the different, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm so staggeringly stupid.
Listen, man.
I do love that scene where they're picking apart his thesis, and they're going, this is not very original.
Right,
he really
right.
gave up on that, blah, 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 and they're like,
wow. You're so stupid. You're so dumb.
And then they hit it with the last year, and they're like, brilliant, amazing. Yeah. Groundbreaking, incredible. Never seen anything like it. I'm sorry, what were you going to say, Casey?
Nothing.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
There's a.
Do you have a new theory that you wanted to put out there?
No.
String cheese theory?
There's an image that allows me to remember Fibonacci's sequence, and it Preston, I brought it up on the screen. And like, otherwise, this like if I don't have a visual cue on it, a lot of times it just escapes me.
Yes.
And so for Fibonacci's sequence,
A Beautiful Mind.
Maybe I'm like John Nash. But
What is the sequence?
It's this. One plus one is two. And then so the sequence is 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, 21, and then so on.
Right.
But the way you get there, Casey, is you add
the first two digits are one and one. They add together to make two.
Right.
Then you add the one before the two. 2 plus 1 is 3. 3 plus 2 is 5. 5 plus 3 is 8. You get it?
Mm-hmm.
It's the one
up, up, down,
before.
Down.
Left, right, left, right.
That's a sequence.
It is a sequence.
You remember that, you know, like whatever memorization technique works for you, go with it.
Yeah, I agree. Hold on. Let me go to Gavin, is an engineering student, wants to explain some constants and so on. Hi, Gavin. Good morning.
Hi, Grandma.
Hi, Grandma.
What's up, buddy?
Yo, so in the many math classes that I've taken, I've kind of gotten the idea that a constant is basically a number that somebody comes up with to make an equation work.
Okay.
So basically, if you make an equation, if you want to figure out the velocity at a certain point in time of this ball that you've invented, you can fit Casey's constant, and Casey's constant will go into that equation. And by some fine tuning and higher level math, you can make it so that constant can always go into that equation. And make the inputs that you put into the equation spit out what you want.
Okay. So that makes sense.
By the way, Casey's constant would be flatulence.
Yeah.
He farts all the time.
How many in the world of mathematics, how many of these things are in existence, Gavin?
I say that there are probably two or three that come up in each class that I take. I remember in physics, there was Boltzmann's constant, Planck's constant.
Constantinople.
Well, that was Istanbul at one point.
Right. So there's you know, again, I learned all my stuff through Big Bang Theory is horrible.
Oh, I know.
Through TV, how stupid is that? But yeah, they're always coming up with something that seems to be, you know, rooted in fact. So, but it's not like there are hundreds of thousands of these. There are a finite set of them, correct?
Yeah, but you can always come up with more constants.
Yeah,
okay.
It's evolving.
I gotcha.
You can make a new equation that gives you the amount of fart that Casey's going to put out in a single day, and that'll require a constant.
Casey's constant.
Thanks, Gavin.
I am so bereft of the ability to process. It's just not the way my mind works.
There was the movie Gifted with Chris Evans in it. And it's about a girl genius and her mother was a genius as well. And it's about this goal of trying to solve this somewhat unsolvable math equation of sorts. And that's just like that. Some people, that's what they do. They just work on trying to solve these. I'm using the wrong term.
It's all right.
Solve a
cabbage
equation.
I don't know if it's an equation. What?
I'm singing Solve. It's a church song. This is where my brain's going.
Okay.
All right. So
Casey's in church.
You
right
mentioned
now.
Gifted. And I was like, oh my God, that was a girl who played young Carol Danvers in Captain Marvel. And then you said Solve. And then I sang the church song.
Oh, okay. Well, Casey, you're not alone because somebody texted in, the only constants I know is fry.
Constance
fry. Constance fry.
See? That's where we go. And Steve, you said Arkham's razor instead of Occam's razor because you were thinking of Arkham's
asylum. Oh, yeah, here we go.
We're a bunch of idiots.
Hey! All right. Well, I'm getting
because I just tweeted out a bunch of Batman pictures.
Right? See, it makes sense.
That's how distracted I am.
Casey's going to find Constance Fry for you. Would that be in Trading Places?
Is
that it?
Here,
Hang on, here we go.
Stay the car, my friend. Neath the elms we sing our tones.
It eventually gets to
them. We're brothers to the end.
The Constance tri-part.
Muffy in the bathroom stall. Margaret by the lake. Susan down in Wixley Hall. Constance on the make.
By the way, where's Wixley Hall?
No, I don't know.
That, it's got to be an actual...
A Penn?
Place they're referencing.
Did they go to Penn?
This was in Philadelphia.
No,
so.
Harvard.
Harvard. They were Harvard boys?
Yeah, doesn't he say Harvard in...
Harvard?
Like, yeah. Oh boy, he went to Harvard. But that was Winston, or what was his name? Winthorpe.
Yeah.
All right, anyway.
Winthorpe?
Let's get to
the... Here's the Constance Fry.
Constance Fry. Constance Fry. Anytime you'd call, Constance would fulfill your needs. Winter, spring, or fall.
And we ended up there.
There we are.
Hey,
see, we know math.
I want to completely switch gears and send out a congratulations to a young man who just became a father, and he happens to be the son of our former co-worker, Marilyn Russell, Matthew Russell.
Oh, my God.
And his wife gave birth to a baby named Morgan Lily and on my son Parker's birthday.
Hey!
On the 8th. How sweet is that?
That's amazing.
Isn't that cool?
So your oldest and now his oldest.
Yeah. 7 pounds, 1 ounce. And we congratulate. Matt's a great kid. He's awesome. And
known him forever.
We watched him growing up.
Yeah.
And, you know, working with Marilyn. And that's part of the reason why she left the show was to spend more time with her son as he was, you know, he was starting to become approach teenage years. And she's like, I'm going to miss out on these things.
Got to be there for that.
And we totally understood. And that's why when Marilyn left the show, it was like, dude, I totally get it. Do what you got to do.
Got to do what you got to do.
I hated to see her go, but I'm very, very happy for Matt. He called me a few months ago just to check in, and he was telling me about the impending baby, so I'm very happy that things
are That's excellent.
Wow. That's really, really cool.
Yep. She's coming into town, I think.
Is
she? Yeah. I'm not sure, yeah.
Ms. Russell?
Ms. Russell.
Yep.
Grandma?
Grandma.
Oh, yeah. My God.
That's right, yeah. I saw this story I thought was kind of interesting, and
hi, Grandma.
Thought you guys might, like to hear. It's fairly local. There are two Susquehanna River Islands in Harrisburg.
Yeah.
That have been in the same family for over a century, and they're now up for sale.
Oh, is one of them the one that has the Statue of Liberty on it?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
No, you're thinking of New York.
Yeah. That's
no, there's like a...
You're thinking of,
Ellis Island is right next to it.
Right, yeah.
There's an island just north of...
Wolverine destroyed the top.
There's an island in the Susquehanna just north of Harrisburg that has a replica of the Statue of Liberty on it, and I was wondering.
It's not that one. Okay. So, brothers Robert and John Ensminger are selling Independence Island and Bailey's Island as a pair.
How big are these islands? Are there estates on both of them?
No, they're not. They're actually pretty small.
Okay.
But they're on the Susquehanna River.
Finally at Niagara Falls.
Oh, man.
I found him again. He was standing there with his back to the falls.
Hang on.
All eternity behind him and retribution finally stare him in the face when I saw him standing there. The man who had ruined my life. The man who had stolen my wife and my baby. The man who had made of me a miserable wanderer over half the face of the earth. When I saw him standing all with the emotion of you.
Okay, this will make sense in a moment.
All right.
Because this is on the Susquehanna River.
Suffering welled up within me and with murder in my heart. Slowly
turn.
Step by step. Step by step I crept upon him, and when I felt his hot breath on my cheek, I struck.
Actually, this makes no sense at all.
No, I thought Susquehanna was in that.
No, what you're thinking of, there is a classic Adam Costello bit about the Susquehanna Hat Company.
This is great.
You're talking. This is another skit. Slowly I turned.
Step by step.
So the Adam Costello thing is they go out and he's selling for Susquehanna hats. And so, would you like to buy a Susquehanna hat?
Yeah.
My husband was wearing a Susquehanna hat the day he died. A say fell on his head, and the hat failed to protect. So everybody
is tearing up, has a horrible story connected to these very benign hacks.
I love, though, that Preston was like, hold on, it's going to make sense in a minute.
And then it didn't.
And then it made no sense
at all.
And
then it made no sense.
What's that about Murphy's Law?
Yeah. Example of that. Right there.
Yeah. Oh, great.
Bill is shaking his head.
He is shaking his head.
He's shaking his head at that.
Gotta go.
Find the Abbott Costello. Well, it's a long bit. Forget about it.
So anyhow, there are two river islands that are up for sale in Harrisburg if you want to buy them. Brothers Robert and John Ensminger are selling Independence Island and Bailey's Island as a pair. The asking price, $150,000.
That's oddly affordable.
But it's negotiable.
I mean, if you're going to buy a house, just buy an island.
Robert said, if somebody wants them, we'll take a look at any offer.
You want them?
Bailey's Island is about 2.5 acres.
Huh.
That's small. While Independence Island is about 5 acres, although it used to be slightly larger before the river reclaimed some of it.
Okay. Oh, yeah, and it's like, it's thin. Like,
yeah, these are not what you think when you think island.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
It's a strip of land in the middle of the river.
It's like two beavers and a goose living on it?
Yeah.
It's quite literally right up the river from Three Mile Island.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's where
that's one of the selling points.
Yeah. Three Mile Island is right next to the Harrisburg International Airport.
The Long & Foster...
It's gorgeous, that area.
...listing invites prospective buyers to own a piece of history. Rarely will you find an island come up for sale, and here's an opportunity for have two, they said.
These actually look like sandbars.
The brothers' great-grandfather operated a small recreation park with a dance hall, a water slide, and a ferry there in the early 1900s.
Say, I'm going out to the island to have some fun.
And a...
They got hoochie-coochie girls out there.
A photo... in the Harris...
You know, on that little piece of mud in the middle of the river. And everyone is so delusional, it calls an island. It's a mud stain. In Pittsburgh, no less.
Harrisburg.
Harrisburg.
Close enough.
It's like where people who are in the river could, like, hang out for a hot minute.
Right. So a photo in the Harrisburg Telegraph in 1916 showed some...
If you tip your foot in the river on the other side, the island disappears.
Some 4,000 people gathering on the island seeking relief from a heat wave.
What are we looking at again?
That was in 1916. Also, the Keystone Aquatic Club had a bathhouse on the island at some point. So now, however, it's mostly a hangout spot for pontoon boaters. So
it just sounds so exciting.
Yeah.
So it had a bathhouse there at one point.
If you're into man-on-man love, this is the perfect place to visit.
What is a bathhouse?
Thank you. I wanted to know the same thing, Kat.
I was thinking the same thing.
Usually when you think about it, they were the classic, they were the gay bathhouses of the, like, the, where Bette Midler got started,
but like,
years ago.
34th Street Beach in Ocean City. They have, like, a little area. So if you're a day tripper, you just go down for the day. You can spend the day on the beach, and then they have showers that you can, it's like $5 or something like that, and you can take a shower there. Is that what a bathhouse is?
Well, it says, Connor called up the wig explanation, but it's, for the purposes of bathing, but they... I think over the years, they got a little bit more of a reputation to them.
So here you go. Here's a Wikipedia description of it says public bathing. So public, I guess, bathing. It'd be considered a not public.
Everyone's bathing together with their publics.
Public baths originated when most people in population centers did not have access to private bathing facilities. Though termed public, they had often been restricted according to gender, religious affiliation, personal membership, and other criteria.
A bathhouse seems right in your wheelhouse, Kathy, where you can go in public and shower and bathe with the public. Yeah. How wonderful.
I mean, they love the bathhouses in John Wick, do they not?
Like, oh, they do. But those are like the style that you... I think, I don't know if Plato's Retreat was years ago in the early 70s was... an offshoot of a bathhouse. It was like a swingers sex club. At least for a while, they had that reputation. I'm sure they started
I remember hearing the term, bathhouse and where performances and things like that took place, but I never really... I mean, are there actual showers and baths and things at those places, or was that just a term? Is that a term that was just... adopted.
Barry Manilow's career started playing, they put on shows and stuff like that.
Okay,
pull the Wikipedia page back up, please.
The new Joseph Anthony at the Lowe's.
The Lowe's, yes.
I really want to check that out. Don't they? They have
it's amazing.
They have a Turkish bath.
Yeah, I did it.
Okay, is that What is that?
Well, what theirs is, yeah, you lay in this room and basically a woman, like, you know, she does like a body scrub and exfoliates and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I mean, they're showered. Like, they shower you down if you want.
Hmm. Okay, so it's like a massage, but there is water involved and...
Yeah, at least, like, so Marissa and I went there and we filmed a video, a promotional video for it. Ooh. So I didn't do the full, like, hour-long Turkish bath, but...
In the same kind of tents. You want a back room?
Stop it. No, will you stop? He ruins everything.
Well, I'm having a volcanic orgasm.
Oh, my God. Kaboomba.
Kaboomba.
Oh, that was it?
Yeah.
That was it right there.
What was a wave. It was more of a wave.
It was more like a light wave.
I'm hanging 10 on this one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's a massage. I think it's just a cleansing, exfoliating experience.
There are all sorts of, yes, and these have been around forever. The Turkish bath. And,
by the way.
And all that stuff.
Does exfoliating mean, like, removing the dead skin from your cells?
Yeah.
That's pretty, or it's from, not from your cells. The dead skin from
your... We remove the cells from your blood.
The dead skin cells from your, the top layer of your skin.
It's like they suck the marrow out of your spinal column.
Your epidermis. Okay.
Makes your skin feel soft.
I'm sure silky smooth.
Silky.
By the way,
anything predator would do to you.
So it says here, in addition to their hygienic function, public baths have also been social meeting places.
Yes.
They've included saunas, massages, and other relaxation therapies as are found in modern-day spas. As the percentage of dwellings containing private bathrooms has increased in some societies, the need for public baths has diminished, and they are now almost exclusively used recreationally.
There is a documentary on the Times Square area, Manhattan, and again, in this time period, the early 70s, where they would have live sex. I mean, the way you'd go in and sit there and watch someone do a mime show or stand-up comedy, people sitting that close to people on stage having... full sex.
Yeah.
And they had, like, performers who had become celebrities. And the guy worked with this one guy in particular that they highlight, worked with his wife. And five or six times a day, that'd be their thing, you know?
Yeah, I would say, my sister and I went to Paris in, like, 1989, 1990, something like that. And they had live sex shows on stage. We didn't go to one.
Right.
I was with my sister, but yeah, they were up front trying to get you in, and literally,
you want to go check out the live sex show?
They were literally saying live sex on stage.
Yeah,
and
I
that's
mean,
what they would do.
I don't know. That doesn't exist anymore. How could
I do not know.
I'm sure COVID somewhere would have done that.
Somewhere in parts of the world, I'm sure it does. But all right,
ask Johnny Ola.
Hang on, I'm going to go to. Yeah, he knows all the places. Let me go to Bernadette. Hey, Bernadette. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Wonderful. What's up, Bernadette?
And I used to use those bathhouses in the early 70s in Ocean City. We would spend the day on the beach and then around evening time take a shower, real quick shower, and it costs like $3-4.
So basically,
take a quick shower and then just have the evening on the boardwalk.
So it's like when you go to the beach, obviously a lot of times they'll have a faucet, an outdoor shower. You can clean the sand off your feet and stuff like this. This was a little bit more elaborate than that, correct?
Exactly, but it wasn't that elaborate. It was just like a big bathroom that had like shower, you know, wood around the little shower. It wasn't that elaborate and it wasn't that fancy and had like a little.
And Bernadette, this was if you didn't have your own place, you weren't staying in a hotel or anything like that. You just need a place to go and get cleaned up.
Okay. Yeah. I remember, I used it in the 80s when, I, my friend's mom drove us all down there and we spent the day on the beach. And then, like she said, you want to do the boardwalk. And, you know, the difference is, there's an enclosed shower, you know, where you can, you know, and then like a little changing room. And then you can be on your way. But now, like our beaches, they have showers as you get off of the beach. They're not enclosed. You can't take clothes off or anything like that.
Well, but the authority.
Yeah. All
right. Thank you, Bernadette.
Enjoy the rest of your day, guys.
You too. Bye-bye.
There are still live sex shows in Amsterdam.
Oh, okay.
Let's go.
Yeah. I mean, they have prostitution.
Red Light District.
Yeah, that's exactly where they are.
All right, well, listen, if you want to open up your own little sex club, you could do it on one of these Susquehanna River Islands in Harrisburg.
Actually,
you could do live
remember
sex.
That, we were talking about that place that was part, that was, what was the big contention? It was part of Jersey that was actually technically part of Delaware?
Yep.
Same sort of situation?
Yep. Yeah, I don't know what the rules are in this place. But by the way, this the owner said that we mostly use it for bragging rights.
See that mud out there? Yeah. I own it.
But he added that the family doesn't really visit the islands, and his brother recently sold his boat, said, so why are they hanging on to it, or why are they selling it after all this time? He said, we're getting up there in years, and instead of dividing the island up between 20 family members, when we pass away, it's easier to divide up the cash.
Yeah.
So they just want to sell it. So I just thought that was kind of an interesting little thing. So these little islands do go up for sale from time to time. That will lead us into taking a break, because I got some bizarre file stories that we want to get to in just a little bit. So we will break shortly and come back with that. So make sure you hang out with us. We'll return in a moment.
This is Jewelry.
I'll take Nick McElwain's birthday for $1,000, Preston.
All right, your clue. This local Philadelphia phenomenon visited the Preston and Steve show to play Jeopardy, therefore fulfilling one of Nick's bucket list dream.
Who is 16-time Jeopardy champion Ryan Long?
That is correct. Hey, see who was victorious. The Daily Rush video featuring Nick and Ryan's unofficial Tournament of Champions is available now on PrestonandSteve.com.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre Final.
Brought to you by TMA Bucks. They encourage you to visit Bucks County by leaving the car at home and riding SEPTA Regional Rail. You can go to TMABucks.com to check out their Bucks County Public Transit Ride Guide for trip planning assistance. All right, we'll start in Florida. Always some interesting things happen, but this is pretty tragic. Deputies believe the death of a 35-year-old man whose body was found near Hutchinson Island was likely an accident. A beachgoer noticed a portion of the victim's body in the sand and called for help. Now, we've had several stories this year of people and, like, a sand tunnel or sand pit collapsing.
Yes, yeah.
This was a little bit different. The man appears to have died hours earlier from asphyxia as a result of being trapped under the sand, but they found no foul play was involved, and the victim appeared to have just been resting underneath a sand dune while taking a video of a sunrise, but the dune collapsed, trapping him underneath the sand.
So like a sand avalanche?
Maybe there was a slight overhang. I don't know.
Wow.
But it gave way and just on top of him, and that's it. Done.
And your time is clearly up at that point.
Investigators are awaiting toxicology results, by the way. And they've, I think they've started to put the kibosh on digging those big, deep pits or at the beach.
Yeah.
You need to fill it back in if you're going to go digging that. Now, digging tunnels, you really, really don't want to do that.
Yes, people die.
Yep. The director of marketing at Hudson Regional Hospital in Secaucus was arrested Sunday on weapons charges after police found a large cache of handguns and shotguns and rifles in a closet inside the hospital. Raven, I guess is how you spell his, or pronounce his name, Reuven Alanayov, was taken into custody at Newark's Liberty International Airport. I guess he was trying to get out of town. Hudson Regional Hospital officials said in a statement, the presence of weapons in a hospital is inexcusable beyond comprehension and contradicts our mission of care and our commitment to safety of our community of staff, patients, and the extended community. They were responding to a bomb threat at the Meadowlands Parkway Hospital on July 18th. Police performed a sweep of the Hudson Regional Hospital. No bombs were found, but a bomb detection canine gave a positive indication on an unlocked closet within an office, and upon entering the closet, police discovered a large cache of rifles, shotguns, and handguns.
Whoa.
Along with assorted ammunition for the firearms. A total of 11 handguns and various calibers of 27 rifles and shotguns were discovered at the hospital. This guy was the marketing director as well. So the bomb threat
was the hospital with the most guns in the tri-state area.
Determined to be a hoax, the bomb threat was, but they ended up snagging this guy.
What, are they stealing a lot of bedpans out of that hospital?
Maybe. Listen to this. At least five men are facing penalties following a Mississippi River fishing bust that saw Louisiana officials seize more than, from these guys, these five men, 600 catfish that they had.
600 catfish?
On Wednesday, yeah.
And so it's illegal to overfish?
Big time. So, yeah, they could face fines and jail time. They were discovered by agents of the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries fishing on a levee. Agents found ice chests containing roughly 665 blue catfish. That amount comes in at more than six times the daily limit of 100 fish. Illegally keeping those fish warrants a fine up to $500, and fishing without a license warrants a $350 fine, and they could face 90-day jail sentences as well. The catfish were donated to an organization that helps feed the hungry and those in need as well.
You know, they just legalized noodling, which is that practice of sticking your hand in a catfish and fishing that way, like while you're swimming. It was illegal, and they just legalized it in Louisiana, so people can now do that legally.
I know, like in Tennessee and other places you can do it.
Yeah,
but there was a Discovery series about a guy who did it.
Yeah.
But believe it or not, it was illegal for some reason.
And what about the dude who does that with snapping turtles?
That's insane. My
God. You gotta be out of your mind.
Even catfish, man. Those things can sting you. They can bite you. Yeah, whatever.
I'm done here with my bare hands.
Got to have a hobby.
That's right, man.
27-year-old Florida man was arrested Wednesday after he told police that he saw four men inside his shop in Bay Harbor's Island, but was later found to have a stash of cocaine of his own that police wanted to take a look at.
I have my own cocaine, and I was worried they were going to steal some.
Philip Katsibanis, the South Florida rapper known as Stitches, called the cops on four intruders around 6:30 a.m. Stitches is said to have asked the police to leave. He's said to have asked the people to leave multiple times.
Yeah, there's some sketchy people in my store. I think they might be out to steal my cocaine.
And told his wife to hide at the far end of the shop. However, when police arrived at the scene, there were no signs of break-in, and officers couldn't find anybody inside. What they did find, though, was cocaine stashed away by Philip. The rapper was arrested on a felony charge of possession of cocaine and misdemeanor weapons charge. It's not clear when or why a gun was either found or fired by the rapper. In March of this year, a 41-year-old Spring Hill, Florida man was arrested after he called 911 to have the methamphetamine he bought tested by police because he didn't think it was real.
I think I was ripped off.
Yep. It happens. Here's another Florida story. All right, we'll end with this one. A search warrant at a Key Largo residence yielded more than 4 pounds of marijuana, guns, other drugs, and the arrest of two men. But there's a couple other things they found. Sheriff's deputy said Anthony Kevin Ibanez and Jesse Lee Perrin were charged with multiple possession of marijuana and cocaine charges, as well as possession of an undersized lobster found in the kitchen refrigerator.
Oh, my God!
I know.
An undersized lobster!
What is this world coming to, man?
So where'd you get the undersized lobster?
So they found 4.6 pounds of marijuana, nearly a half pound of loose marijuana.
A nuclear bomb.
1.4 grams of cocaine, two AR-15 rifles, two Glock handguns, assorted pills without prescriptions, THC vape cartridges and THC wax paper, and one undersized Florida spiny lobster.
When will this end?
Both men were taken to jail. I just love that. And that is what I have in the bizarre.
How big is that lobster?
Excuse me, sir, but what is the size of that lobster?
He's sitting on the piles of cocaine.
Yeah. All right, Kathy, we need a number caller for the secret text word.
Okay, but I was really interested in this. So it's punishable up to 6 months in jail and $1,000 fine for having a undersized lobster.
No way.
Just wanted to let
you know. Catfish and lobster.
They take it seriously.
And the number, how about we go with 7?
All right. Call 7-215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the secret text word for today. When we return, we got other stuff to give away. The lesson question, the trash music news. That stuff is coming up. Stay with us.
If you like what you hear, you can see it too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush on PrestonandSteve.com.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We have something to give away, and we need a word in order to give it away. And we're looking for the caller that has it. And it was number 7 we approached. whose name is Ed. Hey there, Ed. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Ed, do you know the secret text word?
It is B-dubs.
B-dubs, yes. Hang on a second, Ed. We got you covered. Going to give you a $50 Buffalo Wild Wings gift card. And don't forget, Buffalo Wild Wings has specials on food. From 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. Great deals on drinks all day. Valid at participating locations while supplies last, dine in only. And we also are going to give that one to Michael Height of Hatboro, PA. Our random texter as well.
What the f***ing in the basket?
So...
Put the dipping sauce in the basket.
That was from earlier this morning. I called Buffalo Wild Wings. I called them Wild...
No, Buffalo Bills.
Buffalo Bills. Yeah. That was it. Yeah. I started calling Buffalo Bills, and Steve went in to put the dipping sauce in the basket. And then Casey pulled this song up, which is from Silence of the Lambs. It's what he's dancing to, Wild Bill. So, and then play the basket clip again.
What the f***?
He's so good in that role. He is so good in that role. Oh, man. All right. We have something else to give away. It is a lesson question prize, and it's 4-pack of tickets to Six Flags. And the question that we are going to go to, let's go to this. Planck's constant is very much like whose integers?
Oh, my God.
You got to get it in the ballpark, and I'll set you up with this. All right. Planck's constant is very much like whose integers? 215-263-WMMR. Do you know the answer? We'd like to find out. So call, and we will do the trash while you are calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you by Monster Mania. You can come see the biggest names in horror this weekend at Monster Mania Con 50. At the Doubletree in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, and tickets are available online at monstermania.net. What's up this morning, Steve?
Well, singer-producer Ne-Yo has been served with divorce papers after his wife, Crystal Renee, discovered he has had an 8-year relationship with another woman and fathered a child with her. Said a furious Ne-Yo, quote, "She's always on my back for something." As reported, James Franco is signed to play Fidel Castro in the upcoming movie Alina of Cuba. What you didn't know is that Franco says his Castro beard will be fashioned from pubic hair he collected from former female students.
Wow. Oh, my God.
And finally, new Warner Brothers Discovery CEO David Zaslav addressing his decision to completely cancel and not release the new Batgirl movie. Zaslav says that after one test screening, the entire audience strangled themselves with Twizzlers.
Wow.
Not good. That's a Hollywood Trash.
All right, we're looking for an answer. Let's see if somebody's got it. We need to know who Planck's constant is very much like whose integers. 215-263-WMMR. And we will go to James and see if he can get it in the ballpark. This is a tough one. All right, James?
How's it going?
Oh, good. It's going well, buddy. All right, James, do me a favor. Tell me, Planck's constant is very much like whose integers?
Fleshheimer's?
I'm going to give it
yes,
to him.
Yes, right. Absolutely. Yeah.
It was Fluffermeyer's. But, James, it's one of those things where, you know, it's a made-up name. So, hang on. We're going to give you the prize. And we are going to set you up with a 4-pack of tickets for Six Flags. You can keep the summer vibes rolling at Six Flags' newest festival, Summer Vibes, with 6 uniquely themed areas, mouth-watering eats, live entertainment, plus eye-popping spectacles throughout the park. For the best deals, visit sixflags.com.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR. Yeah!
RIT, it's brought to you by Horizon Services. You can get a new, more efficient cooling and heating system with zero money down and zero payments until 2024 from Horizon Services, cooling, heating, and plumbing. Book in seconds at horizoneasybook.com. I only have 2 things for you, and we'll start with this one. Olivia Newton-John, obviously, passed away a couple days ago, and we had covered that in the entertainment news. Now the music world is starting to roll out its tributes.
Yes.
To Olivia Newton-John. She had a long battle with breast cancer. She had, was a survivor, and then it came back around three times.
Yeah, 30 years, over the course of 30 years.
But people like Elton John had posted some comments, and he said, "The saddest of news to wake up to. Olivia was a beautiful and courageous woman. who I never heard complain about her illness, a beautiful voice and a warm and loving friend. I will miss her so much. Condolences to her family and loved ones. Another great one is from Rod Stewart.
Yeah.
He said, my great friend Olivia Newton-John has passed away. She was the perfect lady, gorgeous, with great poise and with a certain Aussie sophistication. And listen to this. He said, her spandex trousers in Greece were my inspiration for my Do You Think I'm Sexy era.
Oh, wow.
That's funny.
Wow, R.I.P. Olivia. Peter Frampton wrote, one of the most genuinely beautiful souls has left us. Olivia Newton-John was an amazing artist in every way. She was a dear friend to me and to all. Olivia is the definition of the phrase down to earth. I love you, Liv. Paul Stanley wrote, so very sad. She was everyone's sweetheart. Rick Springfield said, sweet Olivia has gone home. She was a beautiful soul. And I know of no one who didn't love her or know what a great humanitarian she was. The world is out of balance when we lose these magnificent people. Godspeed, Libby. We will meet again. And then finally, Melissa Etheridge wrote, journey well, dear friend. She was one of the first to reach out to me after my cancer diagnosis.
Ah.
What a beautiful woman and a special talent. So sad news, but the tributes are coming in. Nick just pulled up a picture of her and Peter Frampton together, and I didn't know that they had a friendship.
No, I did not know.
I went on a... I was showing my son, Carter, the other day. I pulled up a video. I was just feeling in a Peter Frampton mood. And I'm like, have you ever seen anybody play a talk box guitar before?
Yeah.
And I showed him that. And really I'm like, cool. He's just, what a talent. What an amazing musician, especially when it comes to that. But I had no idea that he and Olivia Newton-John were very good friends. And then finally, just one other thing. Alice in Chains have added more heavy metal to their growing collection as their album Dirt has been certified RIAA 5 times platinum in the United States, making it the band's best-selling album. Their 1990 debut album, Facelift, is now triple platinum. The second single from Facelift, Man in the Box, is now also triple platinum. Dirt's lead single, Wood, is now double platinum. Well, the Alice in Chains singles Them Bones and Down in a Hole have reached platinum certification. The Rooster is now certified double platinum.
So what exceeds platinum? Is it diamond or what are they?
Diamond is, yeah, so I believe 10 times platinum. So 10 million, I believe, comes diamond, Steve.
Wow.
Pretty sure so. All right, and they're...
10 million
albums.
They're in town tomorrow night, Alice in Chains with Bush.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they're in Camden.
And, of course, Gavin Rossdale is stopping by here tomorrow to spend some time with Pierre Robert.
Very nice.
I believe that's around 2 o'clock, but Pierre will bring you up to speed on all of that in a little bit. And that's it. That's all I have for our music news. It's a short one today.
It's okay.
Yep. I do want to, since we do have an extra minute, remind you that we have a big friggin' deal this week. And you can get 2 tickets to Big Kahuna's Water Park for $30. It's in West Berlin, New Jersey, and you can check out Big Kahuna's Flow Rider Surf Simulator or melt your worries away with a tropical journey on the Tiki Tides Adventure River.
This place looks pretty cool.
Get the deals now through Sunday at WMMR.com. Use the keyword deal. So, again, it's 2 tickets to Big Kahuna's Water Park for $30. A big friggin' deal from MMR. We'll take a break, come back in a second, wrap up the show. Letter of the Day, Word of the Week prize when we get back.
Preston and Steve. Their name is their address. On the web. PrestonandSteve.com.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
10:34 on this Wednesday morning, and our radio program is coming to a close. Today has been fun, and I would like to thank the one guest that we did have on this morning, Danica McKellar.
Yeah.
Had a lovely chat about prime numbers with her today. She's great. Love talking to her, but she's got a book. It's called Double Puppy Trouble, and it's a kid's math book. This is her 11th book in the world of math and trying to get kids involved and not find it so intimidating, a little bit more inviting.
I think it's a great idea.
And she was great to have on this morning. So very cool. And other than that, I guess we need to do the letter of the day.
I can do it. Right. I got it.
Let's do that thing.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
The Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter
I, as in integers, as in Fluffermeyer's integers.
All right, and we are going to give away $500 from the Baxter. Baxter's by far the most convenient and affordable way to help with your home cleanup. You can go buy it at any home improvement store, fill it, and simply schedule your collection, and it is gone. Clean it up with a Baxter, dumpster in a bag. So we'll give that away, the $500, on Friday. We just have two more letters to go, and that is it. So I'll take this moment to thank our sponsors. Our radio show, The Preston and Steve Show, brought to you by Acme Markets, fresh foods, local flavors, Acme, official grocery store of The Preston and Steve Show. Also brought to you by Dunkin'. The Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. And by Monster Mania 50 this weekend at the Doubletree in Cherry Hill. Tomorrow on our program should be fun. Comedian Whitney Cummings.
Oh.
Always nice to talk to Whitney.
Absolutely.
And Chef Jen Carroll is going to be on the show, too. She's always great.
Yeah.
Guest. So we'll have those things and more. So won't you join us? Pierre Robert in next, friends. We will see you. Ray John, have a great day, and we'll do it again tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Hey, everybody. It's good to have you on the map. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba
music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.